much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Start singing. Come on, sing that song I like so much.
I don't feel like singing, Mom.
Just sing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Friends, there is a new form of music, if you can call it music, that is as unchristian and un-American as anything we have had to face in the past 50 years. Now this music, this jungle rhythm, this abandonment that seems so popular with some of our children is a threat our morals. Yea, I say that it is in fact a threat to our very society.
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
And now,
I'm not a robot, I'm a unicorn.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, I love the robot so much.
I know.
Morning, everybody. All new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Why can't we get Lisa to watch Boardwalk Empire, Kevin? What does it take?
I don't know. I have tastes that not everybody agrees with, so I don't try to get other people to watch my shows.
But sometimes I know Lisa. I am persuaded, but you know Lisa. And then I am very happy to have been.
Yeah, that's
like, you love True Blood so much, I finally started watching it on Netflix, and I love it.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah.
So Bean knows your taste pretty well.
Yeah.
And I see a show like that that I really think you would love. And I know you tried it a couple of episodes last season, and it didn't move very well for you.
Well, that's it for me.
But now it's back, new season, new opportunity to jump on board. It's so good. And in the interim, since the time you last watched, of course, you've seen it go on to win, you know, tons of critical awards and mm-hmm. everything. So the quality is there. I you have to try it again, Lisa.
It's just catching up now. Is that going to be awkward?
Yeah. Who wants to, how can she catch up?
She doesn't have to catch up. You can start with the beginning of a new season.
They kind of recap everything?
Yeah, they do a nice recap before the season starts.
So now I've only missed the first recap and the first show of the new season?
Yeah, which just aired Sunday, so it's still airing this week. You can still watch it, tape it this week.
All right, I will watch it.
You'll like it so much.
I will let you know.
Because Lisa's my TV buddy, and I can't come in and ask her questions about the show if she doesn't watch it.
That's true. Parenthood, we were very much on top of that.
That's Bean's whole life, though. That's the thing, is Bean doesn't have anything to converse about unless it's on TV.
How dare you? I have this to converse about from something called CourthouseNews.com. And speaking of courthouses, I can't wait to hear about Beer Mugs Day down there with the Michael Jackson crazies. But this is out of New Britain, Connecticut. A Bank of America branch there was evacuated for a bomb threat the other day. So they all pack up and leave and lock up and go outside and wait because I guess there was a suspicious briefcase or something like that. Well, they had forgotten that there was a customer in the safe deposit box room.
All right.
Ooh.
So he comes out of there and finds himself locked in the bank and surrounded by police. He calls 911 and they tell him to just hang on while the police investigate or whatnot.
They say, "What are your demands, sir?" I just want to be let out.
That would be my fear if I come out and I realize. It would take a minute to realize what was going on because you have no idea. All of this has happened while you're inside the room. Okay, so then you come out and how weird would it be that everybody's gone? You'd be trying to wrap your head around that. And then once you get close enough to the doors to try to leave and realize they're locked, you would see all the police out there and you would think, oh my God, they're going to think I'm somehow involved in whatever's happening here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get shot. Right?
I wonder if there's a sniper right now and they're going, take the shot, take the shot.
Exactly, yeah. So he calls 911. They tell him not to touch anything and told him that there had been a bomb threat and just to hang tight. So I wish they said in the article how long he was inside. It said he was locked inside the building for a considerable length of time until a police officer opened the front door and brought him out.
Considerable would be 3 to 4 hours at the least.
That's what I'm wondering.
At the least, I think.
I would have wet my pants by then.
He claims, by the way, that Bank of America employees taunted him, saying things such as, "We left you inside and we forgot you were in there," while laughing. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like taunting. To me, that seems like, oh my God, I'm, you know, hitting my forehead with my hand going, I can't believe we did that. You know what I mean? Like the bank employees are not making
taunting him.
I wouldn't think they're taunting him either. But
we left you in there because you're fat. That's taunting. Huh?
That is taunting, right? Well, maybe he claims that they are taunting because he has now filed a lawsuit
please.
saying that the bank failed to notify him of the threatened danger and evacuation, and as a result, he was locked inside the bank building, causing him to sustain extreme emotional distress.
Yeah, of course.
Now, we sue for everything now, right?
That's correct, yes.
He seeks punitive damages for negligence, false imprisonment, emotional distress, plus costs and medical expenses.
Sure.
Oh, come on.
Which can be open-ended. You never know how long those medical expenses are going to go on.
What a giant ass.
He particularly objects that bank employees ridicule and taunted him when they should have known that such behavior would cause emotional distress.
I think I would have started laughing. I really think I would have started laughing. Just from like, oh my God, I can't believe we left you in there. That's awesome. That's what I would. And then I'd get sued.
But you would also say to the guy, if you were a bank employee, I think, hey, totally sorry. This thing just came up. And, you know, we were just concentrating on getting out of the building. We totally forgot you were in there. We really apologize. I mean, I think most employees would make that.
Dude, there's no taunting going on. Where did you say this was? Connecticut?
Connecticut.
Yeah, they don't taunt in Connecticut.
No, they don't.
I wouldn't think so either.
Connecticut, don't they just walk around like robots?
Well, I don't know about
that. And
they
don't get a lot of bomb threats, I'm sure. Right?
I don't know. I don't know.
I do. I know all about that.
But seriously, negligence, false imprisonment, emotional distress, costs, medical. What medical expenses can there possibly be? Is he having PTSD now? He's got to go see a psychiatrist because he'll never get over that 2 hours he spent in the bank by himself.
And he's always going to see those people laughing at him in his head.
He had his phone with him, right? And it worked?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, he called 911.
He's fine.
So, he knew instantly there was no danger, right?
And you could sit there and talk to friends until they got him out.
You hope the judge goes, get out of my court.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sure,
it sounds like a lawyer got a hold of him.
I hate that we sue for everything. That is not emotional distress, kids.
No.
Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop doing what you're doing. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It can't be done.
I'm about to do it. Just watch. Today we are going to have Colin Hanks on the program. He is
He's so good.
A little show that comes back this weekend that is maybe one of my favorite shows of all time, which is Dexter. I cannot wait. Brand new season.
See, Kevin loves death, too.
Brand new season.
He does.
Such a great show. That's a brand new season of that. Plus, I saw that Homeland, which I think debuts after it, which is really good as well.
Super excited about that.
But Colin Hanks isn't in Homeland. He's just in Dexter.
That would be too much.
We have Ian Somerhalder, who is on Vampire Diaries, on the program today. We have Michael Jackson update, of course. The trial, beer mug down there amongst the crazies.
Hard-hitting interviews.
Oh, nobody does the interviews better than beer mug. I'll tell you that right now. Got a brand new internet roundup.
Okay.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
That's enough, right? Nope.
Yeah. I think so.
Nope. J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan will be in studio.
What?
J.J. Abrams.
Those are Hollywood
A-listers. Jonathan Nolan.
Jeez.
Those are the guys who work on things like the Batman movies and the Star Trek movies and the Mission Impossible movies. Those are big names.
And a little TV show called Person of Interest, which is also great, which I was saying before I knew we were having them on. But yeah, that's pretty cool, right? So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Our friend Ralph Garman joins us. How are you, Ralph?
I'm well. Before I get to showbiz news, I want to give away some passes to a very special advanced screening of 50-50.
Yay!
50-50.
The kids love it.
The kids do love it. Well, look, the kids love comedies about cancer. That's all. That's been a well-known fact. Disney's known that for years. That's why Bambi got cancer and Dumbo and The Lion King. Remember Nemo got cancer?
Oh, that's right.
And Free Willy. Isn't that what Free Willy died of, too?
Yeah. Dolphin tail. That's how that dolphin lost tail. Tail cancer.
That's right. Cancer.
Yeah. No. Kids love cancer. If you'd like to see the special screening, which is tonight. Nope. It is tomorrow night. September the 29th. You can call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through. You get a special pair of pants. Pair of passes to see 50-50 tomorrow night. And, of course, it's in theaters everywhere this Friday, September the 30th. If you weren't, if you didn't know why we were making jokes, it's because the film is about a young man who gets diagnosed with a rare form of spinal cancer. And then he and his best friend, this is played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen. How they get through it with a sense of humor and with their friendship. And by all accounts, it's a really great film. So check it out, won't you? While we're talking about kids, Jessica Simpson, apparently in a family way, She's got a baby on the way, according to In Touch Weekly magazine.
Oh, no.
She's expecting her first child with former NFL player Eric Johnson. Although, neither camp will confirm. Maybe it's because they are not due to get married until November. But the baby is reportedly due in the spring. There have been clues along the way. She's been getting a little thicker in the middle. Well, it's hard to tell with Jessica, but thicker than usual. And word is she refused to drink champagne to toast his 32nd birthday at a recent party. And friends say she's been having kooky cravings like nachos dipped in chocolate.
That sounds like our Jessica.
Yeah. Again, how can you be sure? But although neither camp has confirmed, In Touch Weekly's going with this story. So you'll see a little Jessica baby soon.
You're trying to do the timeline there, Ralph, but it's a well-known fact that the first baby only takes about 6 months.
Oh, is that right?
From the time you get married. Yeah, about 6 months for the first one, and then the rest are nine.
Thank God we have a doctor on staff.
Yeah, that is good.
Bean is here, or else we wouldn't know what's going on. Joey Buttafuoco's back in the news.
Now, which one is he?
Joey Buttafuoco, Kevin, was the gentleman that was the boyfriend of Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita.
Oh, yeah.
He was the mechanic, and she was so in love with him, she went to his house. He was having an affair with her, went to his house where his wife was, and shot his wife in the face.
Now she does porn.
Now she does porn.
She did. Okay.
Oh, she's not doing anymore?
Uh-uh. She was on Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, stupid Dr. Drew getting in and talking everybody out of it.
Yep.
What a buzzkill that guy is.
Listen, let me tell you a little something. Remember Mary Carey, who went on the Celebrity Rehab?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. You've made me see the light. I'm going to be a ballet dancer, and I'm not going to do drugs anymore. About 6 months later, she was on the set. So let's not jump too quick to any conclusions about what Amy Fisher's career future may be.
All right.
But Joey Buttafuoco, who is another one of these guys who just desperately craves the limelight, he is boxing Amy Fisher's manager husband, Louis Bolera.
That's the worst idea ever.
They're going to have a fight, the two of them.
Hey,
the
guy I don't care about fighting another guy I don't care about.
But they're doing it at the Bunny Ranch, the well-known Nevada brothel. It gets better. Joey's trainer by his side will be in his corner. China. Remember Joni China Lauer?
Come on.
She will be in his corner, working his corner for the boxing match. So it's just all the white trash you can muster in one special event.
I'm just so sad that Gary Coleman is no longer with us. He'd definitely be a part of this event.
He'd be the ref, I'm sure. He'd be right there in between, trying to break him up. Let's go. Let's broadcast live from the Bunny Ranch and do live coverage of the fight.
That'd be pretty cool.
It'd be like Mayweather.
Nope.
Versus Pacquiao.
It wouldn't be like that.
Oh, wouldn't?
It would be the opposite of that, whatever that is.
That's true.
Can we get Larry Merchant there? That's all I care about.
You had an affair with this man's wife. Do you feel that you are being...
You know what? I'm going to let you interview Ortiz.
Inappropriately.
Because you don't give me a fair shake ever.
Yeah.
You don't know ass about boxing. You ain't ass.
You know we have our delicious little person McNugget Chip who works on the show here?
Yes. Yes.
She's an asset.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She is a hard worker.
Correct.
But I've always, feel a fall coming.
No. But I've always been fascinated by her previous career for a long time. She worked at a big-time theme park here in Southern California.
Right.
That involved a mouse.
Wow. Hey, how could we figure that out?
Well, you ever been to Knott's Berry Farm? There's tons of mice running around there.
I don't think that's what you're talking about. I'm guessing that's not what you're talking about. It rhymes with Disneyland.
It does. Yes.
Back to you.
Anyway, I've always been fascinated by her her career there because that's a fascinating place to me. Not so much the Magic Kingdom part of it. I mean, that's mostly for kids, although I have enjoyed my times there.
Sure.
But the inner workings, the behind the scenes, the stories that she would tell, fascinating stuff. The reason it came to my mind today was because there's a story about famous people who have worked at Disneyland or Disney World before they broke it big. And I was fascinated by this list. For example, Steve Martin worked as a magician at Disneyland for many years. In fact, he worked at the magic shop along Main Street there. You'd go in to buy magic tricks and he would be there demonstrating.
What a loser.
He would also perform with his banjo and everything at Disneyland.
Why does that make him a loser?
Why is he started?
Just making a buck.
working at the magic shop.
He's performing.
He was a magician, then musician, and comedian, and he wanted to hone his skills. Why not get a job in entertainment?
At what point did we accept magician as an entertainer?
Because he used it as part of his comedy act.
Make me whip out my King of Magic award that I got.
By the way, Ralph, I think you read the Steve Martin autobiography as I did. He still talks about that as being one of the happiest times in his life, too, working there at Disneyland.
Yeah. Take it easy, guys.
Backstreet Boy Kevin Richardson worked at Disney World in Orlando. He was Aladdin, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and Prince Eric in the Little Mermaid show. That's how he cut his teeth in show
business. Is he a loser, too, for getting that showbiz experience, Kevin?
No, he's a loser because he was in Backstreet Boys.
Michelle Pfeiffer was Alice from Alice in Wonderland. During the Disney Main Street Electrical Parade, she worked at Disneyland. Kevin Costner used to be a guide on the Jungle Cruise ride.
Oh, wow. How boring Disneyland. That must be.
He brought that to life.
Look out, there's a hippo over there. I got him. Don't worry, everyone.
Imagine everybody get off that boat and go, let's go again and get a different guide.
Yeah. He met his first wife at Disneyland. She was Snow White. And he was a Jungle Cruise guide. And Wayne Brady also got his start at Disneyland. He was Tigger when he was just 16 years old. He used to work as the character Tigger at Disneyland.
That's
Tigger,
dangerously
please.
Close.
Well, Lewis, you want to try it again or no? Let that go? That was good.
It was a timing thing. Bean was kind of talking.
He didn't know in his defense, but that was a great line.
Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Ben E. King, legendary R&B singer Ben E. King. Stand By Me, probably his biggest hit. Spanish Harlem. Guy's got a ton of them. Big, big, big star.
Yeah.
Kevin, you look underwhelmed.
I don't care.
He is 73 years old today. Janine Garofalo is 47 years old. Actress Mira Sorvino celebrates her 44th birthday. Moon Zappa, TV personality in her own right, but of course the daughter of legendary musician Frank Zappa. She's 44. Naomi Watts is 43. Dita Von Teese.
Yeah.
She's 39 years old today. Young Jeezy is 34 years old today. How old is old Jeezy? Anybody know?
how
many years difference between old Jeezy and young Jeezy? I've always wondered. He's 34. Bam Margera, a buddy from Jackass, is 22 years old today, and actress Hilary Duff celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
It is the world-famous K-Rock, and it's 22 minutes after 6.
Red Hot Chili Peppers there on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we didn't mention this yesterday, but they were among the nominees for the new class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll find out in a couple of months whether they get in or not, which means, they've been together for over 25 years already. Chili Peppers. All right. Kevin, yesterday, it seemed to me like you thought it was my fault that Eggies suck. Like somehow I'm the sucker. Like I should have known that the Eggies were not going to work out for me before I bought them.
Let me see if I can phrase it properly. You're an idiot. Now, Ralph came in talking about the Eggies, and it's just another in a long line of as seen on TV. And they convince you, if you watch them long enough, that you have to have this product and it's going to be the greatest thing in the world.
Right.
I had not seen the commercial for the Eggies, and the Eggies, by the way, is it's a device so that you can make boiled eggs that are already peeled. So you don't have to, once they're out of the water, you don't have to pull the shells off, right? So that's the beauty of the Eggies. And I never saw the commercial, but Ralph just captivated me with his enthusiasm for it and his endorsement of the product.
That's how it works.
That I said, I have to try these Eggies. Here's the commercial that Ralph brought in to show you why he was all excited about them.
When it comes to eggs, hard-boiled means hard work. Messy shells, broken whites, and you'll be peeling all night.
Not really.
Well, not anymore. Introducing Eggies, the fast, easy way to cook hard-boiled eggs without the shell.
All right, now we're going to take your calls in a minute for crap you bought from television commercials that you were convinced were going to be the greatest thing in the world. And then it turned out to be crap. Who could have predicted that? So Bean was telling us what problems he was having with Eggies yesterday, and I said, "Why, you bought it?" And he's like, "Yeah, I bought it. It sounded great." I was like, "What?"
But we were making fun of it the whole time.
Not Ralph, though.
Ralph made it sound like he had cleared his schedule of like 4 extra hours a week that he was spending picking shells at a hard-boiled eggs. And I thought, everybody needs a time saver, right? So I bought the eggies. But let me tell you something about these eggies. When they arrive, first of all, they come in like 5 different pieces, and you have to assemble them, okay? There's a lid, and then there's a top half and a bottom half and a collar, and you have to put it all together,
what?
And it has to be sealed.
Every
and has
time
to be tight.
You use it?
Every time you use it, every time you clean it. That was thing one that I didn't know about. Thing two that I didn't know about, and I don't remember ever hearing about this in any of the commercials, is that you have to coat the inside of the eggies with like a non-stick cooking spray or oil.
See,
okay?
It's already harder than just making hard-boiled eggs.
That's
the conclusion that I came to. And by the way, you can't just spray, you know, your canola oil or whatever into your eggies. You're not allowed to spray onto it. You're supposed to put it onto a cloth and then gently coat the inside of your eggies.
Oh, F you eggies.
Are you kidding?
It turns into some sort of a science experiment or something. Then you have to somehow crack the egg into the eggie, reassemble the eggies together, and then put it in the water, and then just watch as your egg just spills out into the pot of boiling water and just throw it away. I mean, basically, that's what happened.
I wonder if this is operator error. I wonder if everybody would have this much trouble.
I tried it several different times.
It worked. Who cares? Look at everything you have to do. That's insane.
I think we have a little time here to take care of your problem, Bean. As other people call, you were convinced by television that you need to buy this crap, and you did, and it was crap. There is a hotline number, right?
As a matter of fact, I have the Eggies instructions in front of me, and I gave you the 800 number that you can call if you have any questions or problems with your Eggie. Because, look, I didn't graduate from college, but I'm smart enough to follow simple directions, and I did everything according to this piece of paper in my hand.
Oh, I'd love to see video of that.
Still couldn't get the Eggies to work. So, yeah, if they can help me, let's do it. They don't offer a refund, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Eggie Hotline.
Here we go.
By now, you're the proud and excited owner of the Eggies. No more mess. No more time spent peeling. No more energy wasted. Now you've got the Eggies.
Nope.
If you've got a question about the performance of your Eggies, press 1 now. If you'd like more explicit directions on how to use your Eggies, press 2 now. If you'd like to order more Eggies for yourself, for your family, friends, press 3 now.
Let's try 2. Mm-hmm. Let's try 2, some more explicit instructions, because maybe there's a part I missed.
Congratulations! You want to order more Eggies for your friends or family.
No, I don't want more.
Touchstone keypad, just enter your credit card number.
No, I'm not interested. Is there any way you can get out of this menu?
What, I hit 0?
All right. Try 0.
All right. You have a problem with the Eggies. If you think you've been using the Eggies properly, press 1 now. If you'd like further explicit instructions on how to use your Eggies, press 2 now.
I know you want to say you're doing it right, but I'm going with instructions.
All right, let's try more instructions.
All right.
The Eggies couldn't be more simple to use. If you have a question about A, the lower undercarriage of the Eggies, press 1 now. If you've got a question about B, the upper egg fuselage, press 2 now.
What?
If you've got a question about C, the sealant gasket, press 3 now. If you've got a question about D, the threaded alignment collar, press 4 now. If you've got a question about E, the rotary inlet cap, press 5 now.
What?
Are you kidding?
It's really like putting a space shuttle up. I don't know. Press any of them. It doesn't matter. They're all impossible to work with.
I'll just do 1.
Congratulations, you've ordered more Eggies.
What?
No, I don't want more Eggies.
Just enter your credit card number.
I don't need more Eggies. They don't work.
All right, did you try using non-stick cooking spray inside the Eggies before you use them?
Yes, of course I did, just like the instructions said.
Wait a minute. How are you talking to this guy?
Congratulations, you've ordered more Eggies.
Okay.
Using your touchstone keypad, just use your credit card number now.
That's not helping us at all.
If you'd like to order the Robo-Stir, press 1 now. If you'd like to order the perfect meatloaf pan, press 2 now.
No, we don't need anything
else. If you'd like to order the perfect patch grass seed, press 4 now. If you'd like to order the Dr. Conrad Murray Chia Pet, press 5 now.
Oh, now that sounds good, actually. I'd like that.
How about that free egg slicer we give you? That's pretty cool, huh?
I haven't tried that yet. I haven't gotten to the egg slicer because I don't have any hard-boiled eggs to work with yet.
Son of a bitch. Just give me your credit card.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. You ordered crap off TV. You thought it was going to be great. You're an idiot. Call us now and we'll take your call.
I don't mind piling on the Eggies, by the way, as we prepare to take your phone calls for things you bought as seen on TV that you thought were going to be awesome and turned out to be crap. But listen to this email. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, Kevin. This is from Dave in Nashville, and you're just going to say he's stupid like I am for even buying the Eggies. Bean, you're absolutely right. The Eggies are a piece of crap. I believed in Ralph, too. I ran out to the store to buy them to save on the shipping. The wife and I are all psychomite crazy. We go through dozens of egg whites a week, so I was excited that this was finally going to make that chore a little bit easier. Wrong. It's such a hassle with the cooking spray, the multiple pieces, the egg foam that happens due to it leaking out in the water. It would be easier to crack an egg in my ass and sit in the hot tub than to use this crap. F you, Ralph, and F you, Eggies. Telling you what, wow. It's an Eggies revolt happening here today.
No, it's... It's that guy's dumb. See, here's the thing. I sat in Ralph's presence as well, and I experienced his enthusiasm.
Yes.
And then as he left the room, I thought, that's dumb. I'll never buy that.
You were not swayed by how great the promise of the Eggies was?
It sounded like everything else. I made up a statement one time, and if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
You made that up?
I think I made that up. I don't remember where I got it from. But you see it on TV all the time, and you go, that can't be as good as they're saying, and it's only $29.99. How are they throwing it? An extra one. They always throw in an extra. To me, if they throw in an extra one, it sucks.
Everyone falls for something sometime.
Yeah.
Yes. At least once. I have a friend who got one of those topsy-turvy tomato growers.
Okay.
And you hang it up. It's like a hanging plant, but it grows tomatoes out the bottom.
Right.
And you have to water it every single day. And he watered it every single day for like 3 months.
Right.
He got two tomatoes.
Dumb.
All right. Let's go to Mike. He'll get us started here on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about crappy as seen on TV items. You got burned like I did with the Eggies. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Lisa.
Hello.
Just wanted to talk about the Apple Stop. It's like a hair removal spray, roll-on, wipe-off thing.
Oh, and yeah. It's like you don't have to use wax anymore, that thing?
Yeah, I'm like a hairy Italian, so I tried it out, and I was like, okay, let's give it a whirl. And basically, it's like pouring hydrochloric acid on your skin, and then only getting about 20% of the hair off, and then... You know,
sweet.
Shave or wax anyway. So
all the pain, but none of the hair removal.
Right.
All right. Good times.
That's perfect. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try George, line four. Hey, George, thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you buy, dude? Very nice.
By the way, I don't even think that's the original Santa Monica guy.
Yeah, it sounds like a different guy. You're right.
It's a copy.
New guy. Huh.
All right, George.
New guy.
Let's go to Evan. He's on line five. Evan, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
I like new guy.
Hi, Evan.
All right, what'd you get suckered into?
Well, you remember that Ridex?
Ridex? No.
Ridex. You plug it in the wall, it's supposed to get rid of all the rodents and roaches and bugs and crap that linger in your house when you're not home.
Right.
All right. And how'd that...
You saw that product and you thought, wow, that would save me a lot of money. And
we'll just plug in one of those hall lamps in there. That's all it was a light.
Oh, it's just a light.
Hey, we hope the rodents are afraid of light.
No, they were just walking around and looking at it because we do hauling and stuff. And I actually found this in the garbage.
They were probably.
Now I see why it was in the trash.
Oh, you didn't buy it, though. So that's
okay. Thanks for the call. Hey, guys, I have a good one. Ramon writes in, I bought the Tybo workout system by Billy Blanks when it first came out, and I thought, this is going to be great. I'm going to lose so much weight. Well, I popped in the first VHS, never used it again after that. It's still in my closet, the best $120 I ever spent. Your chubby fan, $120. Ray.
$120.
Let's try Andrew, line one. Hey, Andrew, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I bought the Easy Foot Scrubber. It's a plastic apparatus that you stick in your shower with suction cups, and it makes it easier to scrub your feet without having to bend over.
All right, question one. How hard is it to scrub your feet? See, here's what they do is they make up a false problem.
Yeah.
They say, wow, you spend all night peeling eggs. No, you don't. It's hard to reach your feet. What?
This is what you said about the slanky? What was the thing called? The blanket?
Snuggie.
The Snuggie. This is what you said about the Snuggie is, how hard is it to sit on the couch with a blanket around?
You get trapped under a blanket. Or you can't keep it on. Which is it?
They
don't slip and slide all over the place and trap you. It can't
they
be both.
They did create that problem because for thousands of years, people have been able to sit on the couch under a blanket and be fine. But all of a sudden, once you saw that infomercial, you said, oh my God, I have to own one of those.
So Andrew, when you saw that, didn't you think, hey, scrubbing my feet isn't that hard?
Well, yes, at first, but I am 6'4", I'm a big guy, and my shower is kind of small, so, you know, bending over in the shower makes it difficult. And in the process of using this thing, I had suction cups, and it didn't stick to the floor. I ended up putting my foot in it and slipping and breaking my coccyx, basically.
Oh, my God.
You are dumb. I want you to say, I am dumb.
I am dumb.
Thank you.
Wow, second use of the word coccyx on our show this week. Let's try Assis. He's on line six. Assis, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you buy?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
When you say buy, let's say, what did you get suckered into?
I got suckered into those things where you put it on those aluminum cans and it's supposed to keep the soda carbonated if you don't finish the whole thing. I forget what
that's
called.
A great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Bean wants
work.
That. Bean, you're a sucker for all this stuff, aren't you?
It doesn't work at all.
Really?
Yeah. Once you snap it onto the can, it's impossible to get a...
It's impossible to get off?
Yeah.
So maybe it works, you just couldn't taste it.
You closed it, and it's supposed to keep it carbonated, but it just goes flat just as fast as it would.
Sweet.
Wow. If you didn't put it on.
How much did it cost? We should have been asking this.
I think they were like $5 for a pack of eight.
All right. Yeah. That's not so bad.
And then $20 shipping.
And then $20 shipping. That was the other thing about the Eggies. Thank you for the call, Aziz. The other thing about the Eggies is, I mean, they send you all these Eggies plus the egg slicer, and the whole package probably weighs 3 ounces, okay, because it's just plastic.
Sure.
They charge you like $15 to send it to you.
Well, yeah, that's where they're making all their money, huh?
Every single step of the way, the Eggies were a ripoff and a disappointment.
How about that? How surprising. Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What'd you get suckered into?
The Aluma wallet.
Correct. The Aluma wallet.
Yeah.
It's a wallet made of aluminum?
That's what they say, but it's so thin it's like aluminum foil around a piece of plastic.
How much did that cost you?
$9.95.
How long did it last?
It lasted about a week.
A week.
They sure make it look good on TV, though, don't they?
They sure do. It looked great. Even on the package, it looked great.
Did they throw in a second one?
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't go for the extra $20 shipping on a $9 product.
Well, most people do. Kudos to you, but don't pat yourself on the back too much because you bought a foil wallet.
Let's do one more. How about Henry? He's on line seven. It sounds like some real damage is done here. Hey, Henry, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May. How you guys doing?
Good.
What'd you get suckered into, dude?
I didn't. My wife's sister bought them those hair curler brushes, you know, the Revos, where it's like a wand and it has a brush at the tip of it. When you press the button, it turns around.
Yes, I've seen that.
The brush actually starts curling your hair, or it's supposed to.
Oh, so it automatically curls your hair? That's what it's...
Well, yeah, it automatically rips the hair out of your scalp, if that's what...
Oh, but that's what they promised is you spend you spend all day curling your hair. Now you can do it automatically.
Automatically, you can rip your hair out and cost your husband more money. Yeah, automatically.
Oh,
it's
man.
Awesome.
It ripped her hair out.
Yeah, well, because what happens is this thing is working on a mechanical system, and it turns your hair. So it's you hold the wand, but the tip of it turns, so it's supposed to curl your hair.
This sounds shadier than all the other ones.
Yeah, this one sounds scary.
And it does not curl your hair by any stretch of the imagination.
Bean, you should try that one. You need to curl your hair.
I think I'm done ordering on TV right now. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it is 6:53.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Huge
Here's
hour
Jackman.
Coming. No, a little over an hour from right now. It's going to be so much fun. Our friend J.J. Abrams is going to be in here. Like, that's not enough. And by the way, it is. We're also going to have the co-creator of the show, Person of Interest, Jonathan Nolan, with him, talking about that new show on CBS and all the other projects that those guys are working on. It's going to be so much fun. It's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Speaking of the Nolan brothers, I think they're filming Dark Knight Rises down at Union Station today here in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're going to be down there all day going, let me in.
Peep out what's the haps. Here's your heads up right there.
Will Christian Bale yell at you?
If you want to do what?
Peep out what's the haps.
Okay.
All right. You know. You watching New Girl?
No.
Yes, funny.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was
funny. But I love her and I love it.
But Schmidt, the white guy who insists on talking, trying to be all black and street, it just gets funnier and funnier to me because he's so inept at it. You just got some Schmidt all over your face. last night. It was awesome. Yeah.
I tried to watch it, but the creepy filter prevented me from seeing the show.
Good. It should. At least we know it's operating properly.
That's correct.
All right, let's talk about show business news, shall we? All we're talking about new television. I like to give you a heads up about what the new premieres are and what some of your favorite shows are returning, and give you a heads up as you're setting up your DVRs and trying to figure out your viewing schedule. Dexter's not on the
Sunday night.
Is not, not
okay. Sorry. Not. Back to you.
I think it is the Sunday the 2nd, though. I think
it's the Sunday
first episode.
Yeah.
But tonight's premieres, Suburgatory on ABC, new comedy about a girl from the city who moves to the suburbs and finds out that everybody's plastic and fake. Ha, 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 ha.
Is it starring anyone we know?
Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
Jeez,
I like her.
I like her.
Happy Endings is coming back for its triumphant second season.
Which one is that?
That's the one where...
Where they have happy endings?
The girl is happy
at
because
the
her relationship ended, and the guy is not happy.
Hmm.
This stars Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh, yeah. Way hot.
She's very hot, and she's charming in it. It's a horribly named sitcom.
Yeah.
However, it's a reasonably entertaining one.
All right.
And Extreme Couponing returns tonight.
There it is. There it is.
Coupon, 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 coupon.
I am not taking part in a coupon chant.
Have you seen Extreme Couponing?
Yes, I have, actually. I watched that episode.
How great is it?
Well, it is unbelievable to get a view into
that. Do
you
have a garage full of toothpaste? No, I don't think you do.
Right, but do
people
I
people on Extreme Couponing do.
But do I want that? The answer, no.
I don't know. How bad are your teeth?
Not bad enough that I need a garage full of toothpaste.
All right, fair enough.
It is a fascinating world. These people are crazy.
They get...
What channel is it on, Ralph?
Thousands
TLC? TLC,
yeah. Thousands of dollars worth of products, off time for $0.
And they work 60
but they
spend hours a week to
all
do it.
All day, every day.
60 hours a week, but if you could eat for free, that's sort of your trade-off. That's like working a full-time job and paying for your food, right?
And they do eat.
They eat. These are not skinny people on this show.
Bean, don't try this just because Ralph's excited about it.
Oh, I won't. Believe me, I've learned my lesson.
All right.
You guys don't know. Andy Rooney's retiring. Oh, Andy
Finally.
Rooney.
Who?
Andy Rooney.
I'm just kidding.
CBS's 60 Minutes correspondent. He's the one who gives us his take on the world at the end of every show.
I tape 60 Minutes. I don't watch it.
And does anybody really use a stapler remover anymore?
And then Bean tells me if there's a story I'll like, and then I'll go back and just watch that story. I never stick around. I haven't seen him in 20 years.
Oh, he's the best part of the show.
Oh.
People send me books. And then he'll go through, like, all the books that he's got on his desk.
But he never seemed to have a point.
I never read this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that? Why didn't they kill him off a long time ago?
The best of the worst.
Well, they're not killing him off. He's just not going to be working on the show anymore.
They just should be a double tap.
He's 92 years old, Kevin. It's your kind of guy. 92-year-old newsman who talks about minutia. He's Bean, is what he is, basically.
How dare you?
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
He's a younger, more vital Bean. That's what Andy Rooney is.
Have you heard, and by the way, he's barely been on in recent seasons, but have you heard whether they are replacing him or just doing away with that segment of the show?
Oh, Bean wants that job so badly, can you imagine?
Oh.
What's up with old people writing checks in the line at the supermarket? People who use hand signals are just being contrary, are they? It'd be like Bean's tweets once a week on CBS.
But this is one of those deals where he had the job forever. They would never have hired him halfway through, three quarters of the way through, because he's terrible.
I think he was popular, though. I think the viewers
you
of that show enjoyed
just
him.
Just because you love him, because he talks about nothing.
I'm not even a big Andy Rooney fan, but didn't you get the impression, Ralph, they kept him on for all these years because people liked it?
I think he became sort of a tradition, and that's the reason a lot of people stick around. But he was apparently a very celebrated reporter and newsman back in the day, back in the 1800s.
Back before I was alive, working. Tell you that.
And he said he plans to take the extra time now to water and trim his eyebrows.
So, really?
He's got
quite the eyebrow garden he's got going there, so he's going to spend more time in there. And yesterday, the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2012 were announced. Here they are. These are just your nominees. These aren't the ones who are getting in, but people will vote on this list of nominees and decide who will be getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Your band has to have been in existence for 25 years?
Minimum, yes. That's
25,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. B!
Huh?
Steve!
B!
Oh.
C. Boys! Made the list this year.
Now, if that's not a slam dunk first ballot nomination, we're in the hall, then something's wrong with
the
hall.
Is it 25 years or 20 years?
I don't know.
I thought it was 25. I thought it would go with B.
Have they been around for 25 years?
I don't know.
Yeah, they have. I mean, that first album, I think, was 86, so yeah.
I don't know who votes on this. I have no clue.
It, it
it's just like, you know, the Oscars or Emmys. They basically have a red, what do they call it?
Red velvet, red flag, red rover.
Industry professionals vote.
Red Robin. So they would be familiar enough with the Beastie Boys. They should get in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a voting member of the Hall of Fame, you're familiar with lots of music, and right. I think the don't you guys agree with me? The Beastie Boys deserve to be in the Hall.
Of course,
absolutely,
of course,
I think so.
Red October. I'm just still guessing what the red thing was. I'm trying to figure it out.
The Cure. The Cure. It's hard to say. They shouldn't be in on first nomination either, but I've not been there. I don't know if they're picky or what the story is.
A lot of bands get bumped the first time. That's like any Hall of Fame. It happens in the baseball Hall of Fame, the sports Hall of Fames. Sometimes you don't make it first
ballot.
Just
makes you want it more, that's all.
Yeah. Donovan, classic 60s singer-songwriter Donovan.
Don't care.
Weak. Weak.
Eric B. and Rakim. Eric B. and Rakim.
Influential for a short time, not much of a long-lasting career. I would vote no on them.
I think the fact that Eric A. got passed over and then Eric B. gets nominated is just unconscionable.
Rakim was the talent, though.
Yeah, he was. Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses.
Gotta put him in.
Do you really?
I think
off
so.
Off one album?
Yeah.
And then another album that they never, ever recorded. And then it came out, and then people didn't know it was out.
I think they were a big enough part of history. I don't know. What do I know? I would say yeah.
They burned brightly.
Yes.
But
super brightly.
But very quickly.
Yeah.
I'm saying if Kiss still isn't in.
Yeah.
Kiss not even nominated again this year, by the way.
Heart. The Wilson Sisters.
Don't care.
Heart.
I say no.
Okay. Bean says no. It's the name of this new feature. Bean says no.
I would say yes on Heart. Longevity for me means a lot. And that band has been around for a long time. And hits,
when you say around.
especially. And hits over several decades, too. I mean, stretched it out.
But I don't feel like they broke any new ground, really.
Well, this isn't the Groundbreakers Hall of Fame.
No, but you know what I'm saying is I don't feel that they were influential or broke any new ground. They're good. They're a good band. I don't know. Everybody's got a little different criteria. I certainly wouldn't complain if they got in.
Joe gives it damn.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Sure. I don't know.
I feel the same way about as I do with Heart. I think no.
I would say for her work for women in rock and roll with the Runaways and with her solo career, absolutely I'd put her
that.
In.
Right.
Well, I don't know why Bean hates women, but it's pretty evident.
I think. Ooh.
Freddie King.
Great bluesman.
Nero.
She doesn't get in. I'm setting myself on fire.
Popular singer-songwriter of the 70s.
Laura Pyro, you're right.
Yeah, that's when you set yourself on fire. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
California. 25 years. I think you have to.
Well, if you work on this station, you have to say yes, don't you?
Yeah.
But I think you...
Contractually.
It's contractual. Rufus with Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
No.
The Small Faces / The Faces. When they got bigger, they just changed their names to The Faces.
Different band.
The Spinners.
No.
Donna Summer. Disco Queen Donna Summer.
I'm
Rock and
so
Roll Hall of Fame? I'd say
I'm
no.
I'm so torn.
No, absolutely
on this one.
Not. Denied.
Disco?
Denied.
But there's lots of black music performers in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No blacks.
It's a wide...
That's not what I meant to say at all.
It's a big umbrella of the world of rock and roll.
Well, put her in the Umbrella Hall of Fame, then.
You can't get any bigger than her. I mean, she was the best of an entire genre of music, though. She was the biggest and best and brightest star of the entire genre.
Slippery Slope, that next thing, Casey and the Sunshine Band, and then what do you have?
You need a disco museum. And then put her in that, but not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I can see that argument.
And War, the classic rock band War, also nominated.
Sure. Just for Lowrider alone.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, I got no time. Just look it up yourselves. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Beer Mug was down at the Michael Jackson Dr. Murray trial yesterday and interviewed some of the spectators. Those are crazy people that arrange their day around going down and hanging out in front of a courthouse, aren't they?
This is, by the way, some of them from out of state, some of them from out of the country.
Yes.
Insane.
Yeah, you will, that is insane.
I mean, at least when it was Michael Jackson on trial, you understand that they're big Michael Jackson fans and they come down to see him. But what's the point of going down there even if you're a fan, if he's dead? I don't know. Anyway, Muggs talked to them. We've got interviews from him at the courthouse steps coming up in a few minutes on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, how about a brand new internet roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
A lot of of stuff on today's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. You go to kevinbean.com and you can see all of the following videos. We put this week an unnecessary censorship up from Jimmy Kimmel, which is always fantastic. They had beeps whether they need it or not. And they don't need it, actually, but they make it sound like they do. And there are a bunch of other stuff on there. Like there is a dance contest between pole dancers.
Okay. Oh, really?
So one of them goes, and then the other people clap, and then the other one goes, and they try to step it up. That's my kind of dance battle right there.
Sure.
But what we've got for you is Dave's Cute Corner. We're going to start with that, unfortunately. This is in the middle of the road. There are a couple of bear cubs.
I have seen the bear cubs.
And they're wrestling. And then this is the announcers as they talk about
it. Look at these adorable bear cubs. Oh, my God. Can you believe this is Yosemite National Park? These cubs stopped traffic as people sat there and watched them wrestling.
All right, they're cute.
They are beyond cute.
Yeah.
Look, as adorable as it is to see puppies wrestle, when you see baby grizzly bears out there wrestling and playing and having so much fun, it can't help but melt your ice heart, Kevin. Come on.
My heart is ice.
Your heart is ice. Mine is ice.
If you're making fun of Dave's Cute Corner when these bears are wrestling, then your heart is made of ice.
I think I'm making more fun of the announcers.
Look at him.
Let's go up there. You go, nope, I'm out. All right, the Chicago Bears' great punt return that didn't count. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was a punt. And the guy that's back to catch the punt puts his hand up, which is a call for a fair catch, which means I'm not going to run so the defense doesn't have to. Well, the ball was nowhere near him.
Right. Oh.
And another guy caught it and ran in for a touchdown.
It was a brilliantly executed play.
Untouched and didn't count.
Watch Devin Hester. He's calling for a fair catch. Everybody's eyes go to Hester. Meanwhile, the punt is on the other side of the field, and the only person over there is Johnny Knox. But there's a hold to erase what would have been one of the plays of the early season.
We always joke about these plays that we see on video sometimes from high school football games where they psych out the other team. And this is like in baseball. It's the old one where the second baseman pretends to throw the ball back to the pitcher. And then when the guy takes his lead on base, you reach back and tag him. I mean, it's the type of stuff that you only do like in Little League. It's so awesome to see a play like that actually work until the penalty flags. I know.
So they didn't know where it was going to go. So it was...
It was really well executed, though.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers said it was the best play he'd ever seen done, by the way. And then, of course, it didn't count.
Didn't count. The next video that we have, Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, you go to kevinandbean.com, is the Simpsons Breaking Bad promo. So they take the audio from Breaking Bad, which is one of my favorite shows of all time, and then they put the Simpsons video to it.
There are going to be some things that you'll come to learn about me in the next few days. I just want you to know, no matter how it may look, I only had you in my heart.
It's pretty well done.
It is. It's unbelievable that that's something a fan took the time to do. And Ned Flanders is playing the part of Walter White from Breaking Bad, which puts a whole new spin on the show.
The next one was the New Era commercial, The Odd Couple. This is Alec Baldwin,
who's
a Yankees fan, John Krasinski, who's a Red Sox fan. Yeah. And they're sitting apparently in John Krasinski's apartment. And they're watching the game.
I have to go to the bathroom so badly, I'm doing irreparable damage to my kidneys right now.
Well, just go. I'll pause the game.
And what if the Yankees lose? It would be because I somehow jinxed it. I promise you, I will never go to the bathroom again.
I get it.
Well,
and he starts peeing.
Oh, come on. I'm so sorry.
He stands up and starts peeing right there on his carpet.
I love that they sit and watch the game together, but they put a stripe down the middle of the apartment so that the Red Sox fans are on one side and the Yankees fans are on the other. It's very funny.
SNL, Top Gun 25th anniversary. They went back and took some video of other stars trying out for the movie.
Oh.
Is their take on it. And here's a couple of them.
Al Pacino.
I got a need. I got a real need for speed. You got no idea.
Harvey Weinstein.
This is not a gay film.
We thought it was.
But it says in the script that we play volleyball in jean shorts.
So you can see why he thought it was. It is the gayest movie of all time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really. You know the song Party Rock.
Party Rock is in the house tonight.
I'm sure you've heard it a million times. Well, this is Rosh Hashanah rock anthem.
And they're singing and dancing. They're all dressed up in the Orthodox Jews outfit, you know, with the black hat and the white shirt and everything, and just doing it great. I mean, I don't know that Rosh Hashanah needed a rock anthem, but if they did, this is a good one.
This is the worst cover ever. We were just talking about Guns N' Roses going to the Hall of Fame or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Child of Mine, very famous song. Listen to this. So you get a feel for how bad that is.
Wow.
I don't know. First of all, I never even made it to the vocals when I watched that video. The instrumental intro was enough to kill me. But you get the sense that these four guys can't hear what the others are playing. I guess there's only three, actually. But none of them are in step at all with what the other guys in their band are performing.
Not to mention, all of them are playing poorly.
All of them are horrible. You can't believe this is real.
Here's a rap about Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain. Zippity-doo-dah. Splash Mountain. My oh my,
swim.
Wonderful day,
swim.
Splish splash,
plenty of sunshine,
swim. Splish splash,
in my way.
Yeah, so that happened.
'80s were not a good time for anything.
That happened. Remember this guy? We had him on the Internet Roundup as the best witness ever. He's a guy in Arizona. He was describing a car crash.
The wires come down. Boom. And then arc, bam. That fire was coming everywhere. It was arcing, sparking, blowing up. Boom. And it was coming up. Boom, boom. Everybody was like, shoot.
That guy was the best. And the Gregory brothers got to it and did what they now call songify this. Really, really
That's
well done.
Great.
This is Eddie Vedder.
It's Eddie Vedder.
On the ceiling.
You remember this song.
On a person that I said, let me sit. I want to leave it again.
Only that's not Eddie Vedder. That's some dude.
He's a contestant on a singing show in Chile.
Yeah, and like, you think he can sing or dance or whatever, and the singing, and so he looks...
Wow.
He looks like he's from Chile, and you go, that's not Eddie Vedder. And then that voice comes out, and you go, what?
Unbelievable.
My guess is, and I've never heard anything about this show except this clip, but the show is called My Name Is, Mi Nombre Es, and I bet this is what they do, is they have contestants who come up and impersonate famous singers.
Well, that guy has to win.
He is unbelievable. You can't believe it. I thought that the dude was lip syncing. I watched that video twice to see if I could catch where he wasn't singing, but it's really coming out of his voice. He sounds exactly like Eddie Vedder, yet he looks like Dave Matthews. It's very troubling.
If you want to see that, go to KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean, Lanternet, Randall.
Jonathan Nolan, currently in production on The Dark Knight Rises, along with his brother Christopher, of course, who is directing again. He's going to be joining us next hour here in studio, along with J.J. Abrams, who, I don't know, has Fringe on the air, is working on Alcatraz, another show coming up on next year. And they're working together on a program called Person of Interest. They'll be here to discuss that next hour on the Kevin and Beach. I'm so excited about these guys coming
in, too.
By the way. And the show is great. You're right about that.
The Michael Jackson, Dr. Conrad Murray trial started yesterday. They had opening statements. They had
guilty.
The defense statements, and then they had a couple of witnesses. And we sent Beer Mug down there. And I got to tell you this quickly before we get into the tape, and that is that we said, Beer Mug, can you go down there? He said, yes. Then he was sitting at Ralph's desk for a while. And we were like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm writing questions. And we said, okay, but get down there soon. A half hour later, what are you doing? He's still writing questions. I was like, how many questions does this guy need? So he goes down in front of the courthouse and he starts interviewing people about the case.
So I heard he gave Michael Jackson an overdose of propane. Is that what killed him?
Well, that's what they say. The last dose of medication he received was the propofol.
Oh, propofol. Oh, okay. Darn it.
Yeah. Is that one?
Were you trying to be funny?
Is that one of the one you wrote? Is that when you were writing the comedy for an hour?
Well, at least why do you don't have to bring comedy down to these people? It's a freak show down there. Aren't those people the joke?
That's what I want to try my comedy out on, the freaks.
Oh, I see.
And so you see the problem, Bean.
I guess so.
Well, at least the hour of writing jokes paid off as he went back to the same joke again.
So pretty much what you're saying, Gregory, is that Dr. Murray gave Michael Jackson too much propane and... Oh, propofol. Yeah, sorry.
He did it again.
Did that guy laugh?
No.
No.
No one laughed.
By the way, you can see the video up at KevinandBean.com. There's video of Beer Mug's down there. And
did Muggs get the wrong assignment? Did he misunderstand what we sent him down there to do? It wasn't to convince the world how funny Beer Mug is. It was to hear from the crazy people who are down there because they support Michael Jackson.
Okay. That's what we wanted. Right.
What Beer Mug wanted was to show how funny he is. Okay. So then he says...
Do you think he could have gotten a little nervous under the pressure?
Now, this is funny. Let me just set this up for a second. Beer Mug, when he tries to ask a question, is not concise.
Do you think he could have gotten a little nervous under the pressure? You know, I the only way I could personalize it to my own story is, you know, I do a lot of drugs myself, and my buddy gives me some powerful stuff sometimes, and he doesn't know how powerful it is. You know, either I'm hitting the floor or I'm having a good night. But I, at the end, I don't sue him. Is that, can you compare it to that, maybe?
No.
No.
I can't believe that guy was still standing there with you, Beerbug.
I was thinking the same thing, Beatus. I would have walked away halfway through that question.
Short and concise.
What is the thing with you mugs where you slow down when you're trying to ask a question? Grinds to a halt.
Look, the part about me doing drugs, that's real, and I'm afraid that has damaged some of my synapses.
Oh, don't blame it on that.
Oh.
You're just bad. All right, I just fast-forwarded past the third propane joke.
Oh. Okay. He wasn't going to give up until somebody laughed at it.
You can see the video at kevinb.com. It's worth watching because it is Beer Mug trying desperately to be a comedian in front of crazy people.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable.
And then he came with this.
Now, he administered too much of the propofol. Now, that's what the supporters are saying is kind of the smoking gun, that he was kind of, like, lax about how much he gave him. But, on the other hand, when push came to shove and S hit the fan, do you think Dr. Murray kind of buckled under the pressure a little bit and it wasn't so much negligence as it was, oh, my God, what do I do?
Yeah, no question
what?
To that one.
What?
I'm confused by that one. Holy mackerel.
I can't.
Can you throw in a few more cliches?
See, when he tries to ask.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
When he tries to ask a serious question, it goes on forever because you can tell he's making it up as he goes. And certain people, myself included, should not make stuff up when you go. That's just not a good idea. And then there's this closer.
First question, Beatrice. What's so gross about this negligence? What's gross about it?
Actually, it's a process. There is a legal process.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was
That
was one of the ones that I thought I cut out. There's like three more, and at the end of it, you'll have to go to the video to see it because we don't have time. Maybe we'll play it for you later. He says, in all seriousness, and then he starts laughing because he has no question. He has no question.
He just gives up.
He goes, I don't have a question. He had no question. How do you have no questions?
I was overwhelmed.
Yeah, but can't you just say, what do you think about the trial?
Yeah, sure.
Why are you here?
Why are you here is all I wanted to know, by the way.
Because those people, we want them to bring the crazy.
Yeah.
We don't want you to go do propane jokes.
If we stick with this job long enough, one day, I hope, we find the thing that Beer Mug is good at.
I don't think that's possible.
In all seriousness, Joanna...
Yes.
Oh, I have no more questions.
He had no questions. In all seriousness, he had no questions.
That is a gift to the world right there, that he had no more questions.
That's right.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. I was surprised, and I think I brought this up on the show a couple of weeks ago when I was in the post office, like I am about 4 days a week, and they had cards on the counter for 9/11 cards. And I thought, that's a little bit of a specialty item. Like, who's buying? It's not a celebration. It's not a, I mean, it's sort of solemn.
What did it say? Was it, sorry for your loss? Was it like for the people who, it couldn't have been just for the people.
I didn't pick them up, but they had a whole rack of about 10 different 9/11 cards. And I don't know whether it was, hey, we all remember, hey, never forget. I don't know what it was. It was a bonding as Americans card. It was weird.
Certainly when you're waiting in line at the post office for a half an hour, you don't have time to pick up one card and read it.
I'm a very busy man. So anyway, the point is, I thought, imagine what it would be like to be in the greeting card business when all of your money is birthdays, Christmas, and Valentine's Day, maybe a little bit of Mother's Day, but the whole rest of the year you're trying to sell greetings cards. And more you've seen, you know, birthdays for your pets. You've seen those cards. Mm-hmm. You've seen grandparents' day cards. I mean, Hallmark especially is the biggest name in greeting cards, and they're out there all the time looking for new cards that they can get you to buy. And this news story just broke this week. They are now offering sorry for you losing your job cards. That's a new line of cards on the Hallmark website.
Hey, dude who got fired? Hey, really sorry about that.
And I guess maybe I can't imagine anyone receiving. I can't imagine anyone buying or receiving or being happy about a card like that. But apparently there are people who go, hey, I'm glad you thought of me. Thanks for thinking of. I mean, I don't know. So we wanted to find out more about this. Sorry for your job loss. We asked producer Alex to line us up somebody from the Hallmark Company, and she did. Darren McCracken is on the line with us now. He is the creative director at Hallmark Greeting Cards. Mr. McCracken, thank you so much for coming on, sir.
Well, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great.
Well, we're fine. The greeting card business, I mean, you try to make it year-round. You look for every occasion, 4th of July, whatever it is, you want to sell cards, right?
Of course, yeah. There's lots of different events in people's lives that people like to either commemorate or commiserate with them. And here at Hallmark, you know, we've been providing greeting cards since 1910. So when you care to send the very best, of course, you send a Hallmark.
Now, are people buying this Sorry for Your Lost Job card?
Oh, yeah. They're flying off the shelves.
They are.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
People who have jobs are buying the cards for people who don't have jobs, rather.
Oh, just to rub it in?
No, just to say, you know, you're sorry. People who have lost their jobs, not so much buying the cards.
Right.
You know, there's a considerable drop-off there in the number of greeting cards purchased by people who no longer have employment.
I can see that, yeah.
So is it? I'm just guessing. I've not seen your cards, Mr. McCracken, but is it a two-fold thing? It's one, just want to let you know I'm thinking of you, and the other half of that is, hey, stay positive.
Right.
So things, you know, the economy's going to come back, and one day you'll work again,
exactly.
Basically.
We try to put an upswing on things so that people don't feel so bad about having lost their employment. For example, one of our hottest cards right now is sorry you lost your job, and then on the inside it says, but let's face it, your coworkers were a-holes.
Oh, that's right. A positive spin? Sure, yeah.
We don't deal with those people anymore. We've got sorry your car was repossessed.
Oh.
On the inside says, but at least you won't have to listen to morning radio douchebags any longer in your drive into work.
We're on the air with you right now trying to help you out,
we're
too.
Morning radio douchebags.
Sorry your house was foreclosed on. See you under the underpass.
Okay, now who's going to help?
I want people to visit. Sorry you lost your job and now you're in the hospital. The inside says health insurance is for pussies.
Oh, wow.
At this point. But we've really expanded our card lines considerably because if you don't stay up to date in the greeting card business, chances are you're going to lose out on a large market share.
Sure.
Even our Mother's Day cards, we've had to expand those that line. Because so many young people are giving cards now to mothers of their friends because they're banging them. A lot of these mothers are having sex with the friends of their
kids. Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
And you put out a card for that?
Yeah, Happy Mother's Day. And the inside says, thanks for driving us to hockey practice and for the boning.
That seems like a kind of a specialty.
That happens more often than you might think.
All right.
Wow, okay.
Another high-end for us, we've been expanding the line, is the celebrity greeting cards. You have a picture of one of your favorite actors or celebrities on the front of the card.
Right.
We've had great success with our President Obama parody cards. They've been doing very well. Larry the Cable Guy line for us is very important.
Really?
And we've just finally released a brand new line of greeting cards featuring TV's Whitney Cummings from the hit NBC TV show Whitney.
Is that right?
Yeah. For example, we've got breakup cards. It's, you know, a funny way to say you broke up with somebody. It's a breakup card. You open it up and it says, our relationship has been canceled, much like my show will soon be.
Oh, wow. That's biting.
Did you not like the show, or...?
Look, I don't care about the show one or the other. I just we made a deal with her early on before we actually watched the show, and now we realize that we are going to have to try to make lemonade out of lemons.
All right.
Another Whitney Cummings card says, "Get well." The inside says, "Hope soon you'll be feeling better than my show is."
Just seems unnecessarily mean to one person, though, sir.
And then another of our Whitney cards: "Happy birthday! You're another year older. Something my show will never be." What are you going to do?
Wow, that seems rough, but thank you. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Wednesday, and it is time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, new TV, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of new TV.
Tough to keep up with.
It is. Yeah, you got to schedule. I mean, God bless the DVR. How did we live before the DVR, by the way?
I don't know.
How did we ever watch any television?
I don't know. I don't know.
There was a time, kids, that you listening right now probably don't remember, but there was a time.
5 years ago.
Where you had to watch one program.
A live show and only one.
At a time.
Yeah.
That was absurd.
You had to be home to do it.
Maybe you could videotape a show while you were gone. But if you were watching a show on your television, you couldn't go videotape some other show that was on against it at the same time on a different network. You were committed. You had to make some choices when it came to television.
Now we live in the magical age of DVRs where you can record a couple shows at a time, watch one, record two
I'd
others.
I'd say I probably watch 90% of stuff I watch on DVR.
What's it like now when you sit down and watch a television show?
Excruciating.
And you have to sit through commercials.
It takes forever. I can't do it.
You feel like it's never going to end.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore's like that even when you're zipping through commercials, by the way. Feels like it's never going to end.
Well, that's true.
So I've been trying to keep people up to date as the weeks have gone by about the new shows that are coming on, the old favorites that are returning with new episodes, just to give you a heads up. By the way, Castle. The first two Castles of the season have been spectacular.
I didn't even realize that show was back.
Caught up with them last night. The first two episodes, watched those back-to-back last night.
My favorite is Person of Interest.
Person of Interest, another brilliant new show.
Because we have guests in the other room.
That we gave you a heads up about that you should be watching. Fringe is back.
Yes.
First episode of Fringe this season has been brilliant. Yes. Where's Peter Bishop? He keeps showing up in Walter's mirror.
Can I give a shout out to Boardwalk Empire, which had a brilliant return this weekend?
No.
Brilliant return.
No.
You
cannot.
Why not? What's your problem with Boardwalk Empire? You like the TV show, but I don't think giving him a shout out is going to help.
No shout out to Nucky.
While that's we're listing policy. No Nucky shout outs.
It's a good show. That's all I'm saying.
This long build up has been about tonight's heads up. Just want to let you know that Suburgatory, a new show on ABC, debuts tonight. You may want to check out. Happy Endings is returning tonight. And Extreme Couponing on TLC, also back tonight.
TLC is the freak channel.
Oh, they sure are. God bless them. While I'm talking about television, I want to give you the heads up on some of the ratings news. Very interesting stuff. Spielberg's Terra Nova pulled in 9 million people for its debut on Monday night.
I enjoyed that a lot.
2 hours. I like that, too.
Still got it on my DVR. I have not seen it yet. But a little bit of a disappointment in terms of what they were hoping to pull in ratings-wise. Only 9 million. Yeah. However, it's good enough. Here's the thing. It cost $20 million to produce just that pilot show, just that 2 hours that you saw.
Wow.
So it's a very expensive show to make. Will it bring in enough eyes that will keep it on the air? Remains to be seen.
Wow.
So a decent start. Hope it improves. Shows that have dropped, as you can imagine, the debut of Two and a Half Men.
Through the roof.
The second show dropped 30% in viewership. Well, that was to be expected.
Let's just check it out. Factor.
That's not bad, considering, I mean, it started at, 28 million or something?
Yeah.
Losing 30% of that is still a huge show.
Around 20 million people watched.
Huge.
Wow.
The second episode of Two Broke Girls dropped 37% from its opening numbers.
Ralph, I know I was kinder to the first episode of that series than you were.
Yeah, because your girlfriend Whitney Cummings created that show.
And I love Kat Dennings, too. Uh-huh. But the second episode proved everything that you believed about that show to be true.
But
it really is terrible.
They have a horse.
I know, they have a horse. It's terrible.
They have a horse. Isn't that funny that there's a horse in the backyard?
I'm so sad because it's a very appealing cast, but I fear that one's not going to last long now.
The Playboy Club, which did not start well, dropped another 19% for its second show.
I thought it was very disappointing.
I thought it was a brilliant premise that had a lot of promise to it, but they just did not fulfill.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah. And Dancing with the Stars had its lowest rating performance to date.
Ooh,
bring back Mike.
Yeah. So there's some of the numbers if you're watching that sort of thing with television. I'll give you the heads up. When was it? Gosh. Last week? Week before, maybe? I came in and brought you pieces of the new William Shatner CD that's going to be out in October.
It's called Queen.
It's called Searching for Major Tom, Looking for Major Tom, Seeking Major Tom, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's it, the last one, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. We kept playing clip after clip after clip because it's just so brilliant. Shatner's just the greatest musical performer of our generation.
So he certainly is an amazing interpreter of lyrics, I'll tell you that.
And as I mentioned, it's a two-disc set, and the theme is basically science fiction and space and that sort of stuff, with the weird exception of Bohemian Rhapsody. Everything else sort of has a connection to space, science fiction, whatever. One of the songs on there is Iron Man, classic Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne tune, Iron Man, right?
So he talks it?
No, he sings it. This is one of the few that he tries to sing.
Okay.
But I want to give a shout out to listener Paul Hanlon, who was kind enough to send us a new video that's on Shatner's channel on YouTube. It's the behind the scenes of him recording Iron Man.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's him listening to the music in his cans, as we call them in the biz, the headphones.
Sure.
But they're just recording his vocals. You see him singing into the microphone.
That's
it's
awesome.
A behind the scenes, in progress shot of Shatner working on Iron Man. I wanted to bring in some audio just to tease you. You got to go and watch the video yourself. But here's the behind the scenes This is actually Shatner working, recording in the studio, doing Iron Man.
Heavy boots of lead fills his victims full of dread, running as fast as they can. Iron Man lives again.
Come on.
Yeah, check it out on YouTube.
It's awesome.
Wildly entertaining.
I will never rest until we follow up on your idea, Ralph, of Breakfast with William Shatner.
Breakfast with Shat!
We have to do it.
We get a little band together. He performs some live numbers. We sit down. We chat with Shat.
He's so great.
Oh, here it is. This is Bohemian Rhapsody from the new CD.
Mama,
please enjoy.
Just kill a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama.
Don't cry.
Life had just begun.
This is sad, man.
Bill. But now I've gone and thrown it all away.
Oh, sweet Lord in heaven.
Can't wait.
I hope he's going to tour to support that DVD. Because I will be there every night. I will follow him around the country like one of those Grateful Dead douchebags in a van.
He'll be a shathead.
Selling falafels in the parking lot to make my way to the next show.
He'll be a shathead, all right.
Oh.
We've called him a shathead for years or something like that.
Wait a minute. I think that might mean something else.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ben E. King. Speaking of great singer-songwriters, 73 years old today. Janine Garofalo.
Good old Janine.
Janine, of course, sister of Janine. She is 47 years old today. Mina Sorvino's 44. Moon Zappit. Nope. Moon Zappa. Well, I was thinking her name used to be Moon Unit Zappa.
Right.
And that was in my head, so it came out Moon Zappit. Which sounds like a great infomercial product that I would buy.
You need to
if they made the Moon Zappit, I would absolutely pick it up.
You need to make it. Cash in on people like you.
The Moon Zappit. Yeah. 44 years old today. Naomi Watts is 43. Burlesque star Dita Von Teese celebrates her 39th birthday. Young Jeezy is 34 years old. Bam Margera of Jackass is 32 years old. And Hilary Duff celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Still have nightmares about Gavin Rossdale taking his shirt off in front of us a couple of weeks ago, by the way, Kevin. That wasn't necessary. He didn't need to do that and make us feel bad, did he?
Well, we had those bodies. We didn't take off our shirts.
Exactly. We're a little bit more modest. That's the new one from Bush here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Person of Interest is the show Thursday nights on CBS at 9 o'clock. We could not be more excited to welcome our next guests to the studios because they are the creators and executive producers of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan are here on the show. Hey, boys.
Thank you. Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome in, first of all. Great to J.J. Of course, we've spoken with you many times over the years. Jonathan, I think this is our first time meeting, so it's a real thrill. Did you guys know each other before this, or was there some magic meeting where you looked each other deep in the eyes and fell in love and realized we have to work together?
From across the room. That's exactly how it is.
I must work with you.
I was a...
guy at dinner party?
I was a fan of Jonathan's, and we had a meeting about maybe doing a movie, and as we were having this meeting about a movie, he mentioned he had this idea for a TV show, which I loved, and pleaded if we could maybe work on that together.
So you glommed onto his great idea. That's what you did.
I'm writing Mr. Dolan's coattails right now.
All right, then we'll ask you, Jonathan. You had this idea. Was it describe it for folks maybe who haven't seen Person of Interest, and they're no friends of ours if they missed the debut last week. But where did the idea come from? What inspired you to think, hey, here's a show?
Short version is, you know, I was a kid. I grew up actually in England, and they had surveillance cameras everywhere. And then I moved to the States, and it was sort of a camera-free zone. And in the last 20 years, that's changed a lot. And I just thought, you know, who's on the other end of these things watching? So we wanted to do a show with a little bit of the sort of vigilante stuff that I've been writing on the Batman franchise for a number of years, combined with a little bit of that high-tech sort of surveillance world.
Would we be shocked at how often we are on camera day to day, particularly in a place like New York where your show is set?
Yeah. It's
insane.
The NYCLU did a count 5 years ago of the amount of cameras in Manhattan, and they came up with a number of 5,000. And then they counted again last year, and the official number they came back with was uncountable.
Uncountable?
Wow.
Does that mean they just went to a bar and drank and just said, just tell
let's go back with uncountable?
Did you see, I'm sure you saw, the piece this past Sunday night on 60 Minutes they ran about the New York Terrorism Unit where they showed those cameras and showed how high-tech they are and the thing. I mean, it was almost like we were watching your TV show. The stuff that they can pick out, that computers can pick out, that humans aren't even watching, but computers can tip off to what's going on was astonishing to me.
Yeah, that's the whole idea with the show. I think people would be really shocked to see how much that's changed in the last few years.
Jonathan pitched the idea, it wasn't science fiction. It was, this is what's happening, and this is all, you know, there are cameras looking at us almost all the time. And, you know, whenever you watch someone who's like the subject of a documentary, after a while you go, God, why aren't they like acting strangely? Because there are cameras there, and you realize that they become immune to it. They forget. They don't think about it. They don't care anymore. And that's how we all live right now. We're all being watched. And the question is, who's watching us?
Now, you came up with Michael Emerson, I'm sure.
I didn't come up with him.
Well, I don't mean you created him. I don't mean you created him. I mean you.
He's not anywhere near old enough to be his father. Come on, Kevin.
You brought him to this project, is what I mean.
We were very lucky to work together. I was a fan of his years earlier when he'd been on The Practice. He was amazing. And then Damon Lindelof cast him in Lost, and he was
unbelievable.
Mind-blowing in that. And this show came up. And the first person that we thought of that would be the ideal was Michael. And we sent him the script. And I guess all they had to do was read it, because Jonathan wrote a great script.
Can he not be creepy, though? Is that an arsenal? I mean, does he have that in his arsenal, too? Or is he always creepy all the time, no matter what?
It's a writer in his contract that he has to be creepy.
Yeah, okay.
No, the guy,
he's creepy, but he's good creepy.
The guy is not, he is compelling. Like this, he has the gift, and there have been a few actors I've been really lucky to work with. He is one of those actors. You could give him anything, and he would make it a compelling speech.
And he makes it look easy. And so everybody thinks, oh, I could do that. Well, no, you couldn't.
Well, the fun of the script is when you read it, it was a great script, and it was an incredibly interesting idea, I thought. And the idea of Michael, like any great actor, you hope will come in and sort of make it even better and elevate it even more, and that's what happened.
Jonathan, are there real-life guys like the character you created that is played by Michael Emerson, guys who do what he does in terms of setting up these networks and understanding how to program those computers?
Yeah, we modeled his character a little bit on a guy named John Poindexter, who ran DARPA for the government for a number of years and was trying to build basically exactly what we feature in the show.
No way.
A thing called the Total Information Awareness Network. And Congress got wind of it and shut the whole thing down. Sort of halfway
stupid
between...
Congress. Oh, wait, that's good. They shut it down.
No, publicly they shut the whole thing down, though, right?
Right. That's exactly right. Publicly
they
shut it down. And then it went to the NSA, now no one has it.
Here's Michael Emerson talking about how he gets all this information, talking about this system.
After the attacks, the government gave itself the power to read every email, listen to every cell phone. But they needed something that could sort through it all, something that could pick the terrorists out of the general population before they could act. The public wanted to be protected. They just didn't want to know how they were being protected. So when they finally got a system that worked, I kept it secret.
So how do you know about it?
I built it.
All right, there
creepy.
He is.
Creepy.
Built it.
He's out. He seems like he's so at home as the guy who's orchestrating everything without anyone knowing
Pulling the strings.
Like it was on Lost, the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah. No,
he's so good at that.
He is a genius, and you just get a sense when you're talking to him that he knows stuff you don't.
Absolutely.
What, you mean in person as well, or he just puts that on as an actor?
But I got to say both. I mean, you know, but he is one of the sweetest guys. His wife is he's just a terrific guy. He just happens to be an amazing actor. Yeah.
The other voice that we just heard on that clip besides Emmy winner Michael Emerson is Jesus. You have actually got Jesus Christ himself on this show. Now, if that doesn't make a show go, I don't.
Jesus.
The guy's Jesus. Come on.
All right.
Jim Caviezel, of course, for The Passion of the Christ, who's a guy who's a terrific actor who doesn't work enough. Was he tough to get to sign off on this?
Well, you know, I felt as lucky to get Jim as I did with Michael.
Yeah, that was a huge one for us.
You wanted Jesus, right? Wasn't that your...
I want Jesus with a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Was the pitch for the show.
Jesus with a grenade launcher. That's the name of my autobiography. I hope you all pick it up. So explain for people who haven't seen it yet, and God damn you if you haven't, because it's a great show. It's one of my favorite shows, honestly. Their relationship and who he is, who Jim Caviezel is, and how he interacts.
Jim plays a former CIA operative who has dropped off the map for reasons we will investigate in flashback going into series. And he's just an all-purpose kind of badass.
And everyone thinks he's dead.
Same as they think Michael Emerson is dead. But Michael Emerson's character knows all about Jim's character Reese and recruits him. When we find Reese, Jim's character, he's a bit of a mess, which is kind of how I was when JJ found
sure.
him.
Sure,
we sort of modeled him.
You're in the subway with an unkempt beard, and
he's like 3 feet shorter. But the thing about Jim Caviezel's character is, you know, he is he's such a badass, and it's what Finch, Michael Emerson's character, needs. He needs a guy to be in the field, to go out there, to be able to basically be the muscle. And watching him do that is incredibly gratifying.
But we considered the version of the show with Michael Emerson with the grenade launcher, but it didn't.
You know it's coming.
Not the same, right? Are there people who can do what Caviezel's character does in the pilot, or is that just all Hollywood action stunt stuff? I mean, can a guy grab somebody else's gun and shoot five people in the leg in 5 seconds? I mean, can that really be done by anyone?
Jim Caviezel can do the stuff that his character does.
Wow.
Because he's Jesus.
We're talking special forces guys here, right? We're talking Delta Force and those guys. They can all do that.
Well, it is kind of wish fulfillment when you see punks and, and got bad guys get, you know...
Pick out a bomb.
Get, you know, shot in the kneecaps and Caviezel says, have a nice day, and leaves the room. There's something you kind of go, I wish I could do that to those
people. Yeah. Yeah.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah. You never stop thinking, I wish I was him.
Before we take a break, our guests in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show are J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan. We're talking about Person of Interest, which is a new CBS show that airs Thursday nights at 9. We've talked many times on the show, and maybe even with you, J.J., about the line has collapsed when it comes to good work between movies and television. There's not that much of a, you know, there's no gap like there used to be. There are great movies, great TV shows. But I'm curious for you, Jonathan. You had never done anything in television before, right? Why didn't this just turn into a movie for you?
My wife writes for TV, and I had long looked at TV as something I wanted to do. It just got really good in the last 10 years. I was a huge Lost fan, and I just thought, you know, you get a chance there to not just build characters, but continue writing those characters for years and years and years. Whereas with a movie, you kind of write the characters, and then you kind of have to throw
them away. Let it go. Yeah. All right, let me just ask one more question, then we need to break. And this is of JJ, and it's because of Lost. Okay. Michael Emerson, everybody thinks he's dead. Jim Caviezel, everybody thinks he's dead. Are they both dead?
That's a good question.
Find out in 4 or 5 years.
They're going to be in a church.
Dead all along. Are they dead, sir?
No, sir. They are wide awake. They are conscious. They're alive. They're walking around.
Fantastic. Person
doing
of interest.
Good things.
Yeah. Thursday nights at 9
o'clock. Save that tape for when he F's us in about 2 seasons, all right?
You want to jam? I got it. All right. You jam it. We have stuff to talk about. It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Colin Hanks, by the way, joining the cast of Dexter and joining the Kevin and Bean Show coming up next hour. You guys watch the Dexter? Are you guys into the Dexter, by the way?
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, great show.
J.J. Abrams is in studio with us along with Jonathan Nolan. They are the co-creators and executive producers of Person of Interest, a new show Thursday nights at 9 on CBS. J.J., how many shows are you down to on TV right now?
Well, in fairness, Jonathan is the creator of the show.
He's the creator, okay.
I'm one of the producers, but we have... Fringe, which is on Fox, and we have Person of Interest. And in mid-season, we have a show called Alcatraz, which will be on Fox as well.
Fantastic.
You're going to be down to just 3 shows on TV? What are you doing with all your spare time?
Bean.
Making movies, I guess.
Making movies, right. What's going on Fringe?
Did you watch
Is that too general a question?
Did you see the premiere?
Is that too general a question?
I think it is pretty pretty strange. But it is, I got to say, as weird as Person of Interest can get, and there are times when it could, you know, Fringe is by far the weirder sibling.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah,
it is.
I love Fringe. I really think it's above my head. I really do, but I watch it every week.
I got to tell you, the next 3 episodes, because I really did enjoy what they did. I thought they did an amazing job on the premiere, but the next 3 episodes just get better and better. So
are we going to get to a point, and maybe I'm missing the point, and this is my last question on Fringe. Are we going to get to a point where faux Olivia and good Olivia are going to make out? That looks like that's where we're heading.
I can get on the phone as soon as we're done with this interview.
Excellent. That's right. Unless I'm missing the point, because that seems like I want that more than anything.
I hear you.
All right.
Jonathan, how much do you have to do once your words are turned in for Batman movies and they start the filming? Are you involved in a day-to-day or on the set at all?
I'm involved as much as I can be. I just sort of tend to show up on the set and ask if there's anything they want me to do, like make coffee or...
Oh, I doubt that very seriously.
No, feature writers is kind of a different gig. You sort of turn in your script, and then you show up and put on a pair of headphones, try to look important. But
do they ask you to change it a lot? Is that your day to day?
Even when your brother's directing, that's what happens.
Yeah, but pretty much.
That's horrible.
especially when your brother's directing. That's how it works.
JJ, you can pull that microphone down. You don't have to reach way up.
I'm just trying to figure out how to make it work best.
All right, okay. Talking straight up in the air. It looked uncomfortable.
You guys have so much going on. You're both so busy. It's still a miracle to me that we have you here in studio. Person of Interest, Thursday nights, CBS, 9 o'clock. Kevin has asked this question of a couple of guests we've had on recently. When the new season rolls around and people are being pulled in 1,000 different directions to watch new shows, it's so hard to get any kind of traction. And we don't live in an era like we used to where they give you a season to find an audience. Is that a lot of your day is kind of dealing with that or holding back the network from, you know, having itchy feet when a show comes out?
Well, CBS has been pretty amazing in terms of support, right. You know.
No, they're just one of the reasons we were attracted to working with CBS on the show is they're so confident. They really know their audience, and we feel like we have their total backing.
Well, I got to tell you, I got interested when I saw J.J. Abrams. When I saw your name, thought, okay, persons of interest, and I put it in my TiVo, and couldn't even find it at the time. At the time, it wasn't even on yet.
Wow. Well,
but I was excited that you were doing another TV show.
Thank you very much. That's so nice of you.
And I watched the first episode. It's fantastic. Well, I love it so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where do you film at all? Is it all in New York?
It's in New York. Yeah, which is amazing. You know,
it's pretty cool.
Is it difficult? I mean, it seems like New York is a city that doesn't need your show blocking things.
Well, it's amazing.
That's a good point.
They don't care.
They don't care.
I disagree with you. You're absolutely right. In fact, I was just talking to the New York Film Commissioner, and she was saying how there are, I think, something like 28 shows happening there right now, movies and shows. The number was staggering. I didn't understand
maybe
how
that's why New York is like New York.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
If they took all the television and movie production out, it would just flow like...
And people wouldn't be so mad.
I felt guilty. I was like, I'm sorry, we'll take it out.
Do you have any problem when you're... It's not a closed set, obviously. You're filming where thousands of people are walking by within 100 feet of your action. Does that ever create any problems with making TV there?
We got a couple of great outtakes from the pilot where people walked up to Michael Emerson on 6th Avenue in the middle of a take and asked for a signature.
Really? Nice.
And then Caviezel, Jim's character had to hit a couple of guys, which we do a lot in the show.
Yeah.
And
he's the muscle in the show.
I'm watching the take and you can kind of tell that one of the women walking down the street is not an extra. And as soon as
I think JJ. Okay.
Yes, Jim actually did weigh in and rescue a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, the NYPD told you not to talk about it?
We have to report you if you're going to bring this up. No,
I don't want to be reported.
No, you guys have had more trouble with that on the Batman movies where people are taking pictures and...
Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's how I was keeping track of the project. Was all the photos on YouTube.
People. Yeah.
You were tweeting, please post all photos so I can know what my brother's doing.
Is it difficult now to keep things under wraps? I mean, you're shooting in New York. It would be easy for somebody to take out their cell camera, their video camera, whatever.
It's just impossible. I mean, the show's all about how many cameras there are in the universe.
But how do you keep secrets now? Is it difficult to...
But they're just seeing bits and pieces. They're not going to be able to put it all together.
They can't put it together,
I can. I'm going to go to New York. I can put it together.
I mean, you're absolutely right. The bigger fear has to be on the Batman movies because the tabloids will pay for a picture of a villain that we haven't seen before, for instance. That's the cloak of secrecy right there. That stuff.
No!
Person of Interest is the show. By now, you should have heard enough to realize you must watch Thursday night at 9 on CBS. We're very happy for you guys. Congratulations on the success, the early success. I hope it holds up for you. J.J. Abrams, Jonathan Nolan, our guests on the program.
I'm more happy for me because I have a television show that I love.
Oh, exactly.
Thanks. That's
the greatest. Gentlemen, keep in touch. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Is there anyone more entertaining on television than... First of all, Jimmy Kimmel in his late night show, who's always great.
How many first of alls do you have?
And second of all, his little friend Jake Bird that he sends out to all the trials is maybe my favorite character on television right now.
Yeah, he goes and he wears all these weird clothes. He had number one fan hat and he had a shirt that said Dr. Murray, but then he changed the last couple letters to murder. And he was, he tries to kind of just glom onto whoever's being interviewed and just he starts asking bizarre, weird questions. And he's so freaking funny.
He's so freaking fearless, too. He goes up to these people who, in many cases, are the actual attorneys involved in the trial or family members involved in the trial. It just gets right in their faces. He's so unbelievably brave and so unbelievably funny. And you can see the clip of the entire thing at Jimmy Kimmel, obviously, at his website at ABC. But we also have some audio highlights of what he did out at the courthouse yesterday that were just great.
It's up on our site, too, kevinandme.com.
But nobody goes there.
But I think we're supposed to encourage people to.
You should go there instead.
What the hell's wrong with you? This first clip, Jake Bird meets Tito. And it actually is Tito Jackson.
Justice for Michael. Justice for Michael. Tito, up here, buddy. Up here. Justice, buddy. Justice. How's Tito?
So it was Tito, and he...
I thought it was Jermaine.
I don't know who it was.
It was Jermaine, and the joke was he was saying it was Tito.
Oh, it could be. Dave told me. So being your guess is probably better than mine.
Right.
But then he licked his hand because he was so excited that he high-fived him.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so that happened. And then he's mingling.
As far as him having to deal with his pain, that was his pain.
but how it was done by Dr. Conrad Mary was not right.
He said, I don't even know why people need drugs to relax. You know, you can go to Brookstone's and sit in one of those massage chairs for free until the day manager, Rob Seacom, is by and asks if you're going to buy anything.
He might have tried all of that, and it didn't work for him.
I hope he did.
I hope he did. I sure hope that happened. Now he goes into talking about Michael Jackson and the money that he had and the available doctors.
He was a humanitarian. He was a good human being. He was a child of God.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to set this up. This is a horrible Michael Jackson impersonator.
Oh.
Looks more like Rihanna. It's a dude that looks like Rihanna, but supposed to look like Michael Jackson.
He was a humanitarian. He was a good human being. He was a child of God who gave to the world.
But Michael is still alive.
He's alive in heaven. He's alive in heaven.
In our hearts.
That's right. Give me some.
And in a secret cryogenic chamber under Six Flags Magic Mountain.
He picked up the protocol and the syringe and injected himself and committed suicide.
I would have rather seen Michael eaten by bees than died like that.
What? Well, good point, Jake.
How does a guy get eaten by bees? This doesn't make any sense. Now he talks about Michael's money and all of the available doctors.
Michael Jackson could have had any doctor he wanted. He could have had Dr. Drew or Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or Dr. Laura or Dr. Ruth or Dr. 90210 or Dr. Scholes or Dr. Dre or Dr. J or Dr. Bombay or Dr. Can't You See I'm Burning Burning or Dr. Who, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard or Dr. My Eyes
or Dr.
Doolittle or Dr. Demento or Dr. Detroit. Or Dr. Laura, or Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, or Dr. Maya Angelou. Can I touch your crazy hair?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, Michael Jackson is up there in heaven right now. He's black again, he's got his nose back, and he's smiling, man. He's smiling. Nancy Grace, great job on Dance with the Stars. Great job on Dance, and you're going to win the whole thing. Go get him, Nancy Grace. Go, Nancy Grace.
That's not Nancy Grace anyhow. That's actually not.
It's not? That's Nancy Grace. That is Nancy Grace.
No, I work with her. It's not Nancy Grace. But anyhow.
Are you sure? Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
I know Nancy Grace personally.
That's not Nancy Grace.
I'm pretty sure it is, dudes.
She's on live. You really can't start screaming. Let her.
Oh, she? It's taping now?
Yes, everything's live, so you can't scream when she's on.
Jeez, oh. Conrad Murray hates white people. That's why he killed Michael Jackson.
Brilliant.
Conrad Murray hates white people. That's why he killed Michael Jackson. He's the best. You have to check it out. Go to kevinandbean.com or jimmykimmel.com.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I beat, I have to give away some more passes to the excellent film 50-50 starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yay!
Seth Rogen.
Yay!
Anna Kendrick.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Yes.
This is a film I've been looking forward to ever since I heard about the concept, because I like ballsy comedies, I like gutsy comedies, something who takes on a topic that you don't ordinarily think would be the fodder for comedy and yet makes it work. That makes it more human, I think, for me, when you're laughing and in the face of adversity, because that's what a lot of us do.
I agree.
In our worst moments, we try to find the humor in things, and this certainly is that situation. Story of a 27-year-old writer who was diagnosed with a rare form of spinal cancer, and with the help of his best friend, he learns how to survive, how to get through it in the best possible way with booze and women and drugs and chicks.
Sweet.
And that's what your best friends are for when you're down the dumps. They try to get you laid, and this movie certainly is a testament to that. 50-50, the screening is tomorrow night, September the 29th. If you'd like to go, I have three pairs of passes, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. It's in theaters everywhere this Friday, September the 30th. So check it out then. I think you should. Is there a new celebrity sex tape in the wind? That's what this story
says. I hope so.
This story says it's Lil Wayne
and Nancy Grace,
who just celebrated his birthday and earlier this week. I think we were wishing happy birthday.
I think it was just yesterday, and I didn't mention it yesterday, Ralph, but who looks worse at 29 than Lil Wayne?
He's lived. He's a rough 29. It's Lil Wayne and a woman that appears, from everyone who's seen the tape, to be Nicki Minaj.
Really?
Yes.
I would like to see that, yes.
Would that be a menage a deux? It would be just the two of them, but one of them is Nicki Minaj?
Interesting.
MediaTakeout.com, the website, says a group of men from New Orleans are selling the tape. Somehow it's been passed around
amongst Lil Wayne's friends, and it found its way into the hands of a couple of entrepreneurial hood gentlemen.
Funny how that happens.
Yes, and they are now trying to sell it to the highest bidder. This website, MediaTakeout.com, says they have seen it. They were told the movie is about 3 years old. It was taken by Lil Wayne. They certainly seem to think it's Nicki Minaj in the film with him. The gentlemen from New Orleans are asking for a low, low price, in my opinion, of $150,000 for the tape.
That does seem too low.
Yeah.
If it's really them, you can get a lot more for it.
MediaTakeout.com says it's too rich for their blood. They're not going to bite, but maybe it'll find its way into hands on another site. Hell, maybe we can scrape it together here. Send it over here. We'll put it up on our site.
Yeah, not for us. It's...
Yeah, put it up on our site. More views.
Nicki Minaj seems like she would be fairly freaky in bed, too, doesn't she?
She's, absolutely.
I think she's freaky on every level in any way. Did you see her fried chicken necklace the other day?
Yes, I did.
Her hot pink fried chicken necklace?
Yes, I did.
That was sweet.
And I saw her nip slip on Good Morning America a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
so
when
this tape comes out, we'll see them both.
She is she's a good time.
Yeah.
She's a blast in the glass, as they say on Jersey Shore. That's what I'm thinking. And while we're talking about nips and slips...
Do not bring up Nancy Grace.
Boobs and attractive African-American women.
Oh.
In this case, she's a Barbadian American. Rihanna.
Rihanna?
In the news, yes.
She's hot.
She was filming a video in Northern Ireland on a farm.
Okay.
Are we playing Mad Libs again?
No. This was a farm in Northern Ireland, Bangor, which is just east of Belfast. They had permission to shoot on this farm.
The name of the city is Bangor.
Bangor, yeah.
Of course it is.
Back to you. Like in Maine. They're shooting in a wheat field, and Rihanna's shooting her video, and she's walking along wearing a flannel shirt and some jeans, and then she strips down to her Stars and Stripes bikini and a red bra.
All right. I like it. I like where this is going.
And then she goes topless in the video.
What?
She takes her top off in the
fantastic
video.
Oh, my.
Well, it's not fantastic for Alan Graham.
Exciting story.
Huh? It's not exciting for Alan Graham.
Why?
Because Alan Graham is the farmer who owns the farm they're shooting on, and he was watching them filming from a distance.
Right.
And that was the final straw for him. Could not accept it. Could not accept it happening on his farm.
What?
So he hopped off his tractor and went up and stopped the whole show. Stopped the whole shooting. No, 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 I say. I just say, no, 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 I say.
What?
But threw them off the property.
He didn't say.
Your breasts look amazing.
Nope. The state of undress was completely inappropriate, he told the BBC. I had a conversation with Rihanna. Hope she understands where I'm coming from. We shook hands.
What a dumbass.
When he canceled the shoot on his property. Stopped her from showing her boobs.
My rule of thumb is, and has always been, if Rihanna wants to go topless on the farm, let her.
I've heard you say that many times.
Yes, you have. It'll never happen on your farm. No. See, this is why we need to give Ireland back to the Irish. Because up there in the English-owned portion of the country, they just don't know what they're doing. It would never happen in Dublin.
That wouldn't happen anywhere.
That's what they'd be doing.
They look ridiculous. Get rid of them. Why don't you? They look stupid. I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a f***.
Said the farmer.
Not much of an accent. That's weird.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Janine Garofalo is 47 years old today. Actress Mira Sorvino is 44. Moon Zappa. Daughter of legendary musician Frank Zappa and a personality in her own right. She's 44. Naomi Watts is 43. Burlesque star Dita Von T celebrates her 39th birthday. Young Jeezy's 34. Bam Margera of Jackass, 32 years old. And actress Hilary Duff celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Nick, give me a little of that Dexter music. Get me in the mood here for Dexter. I'm thinking ahead toward this coming Sunday night. Dexter returns on Showtime at 9, season number 6. And every year we have the same internal struggle, Kevin, where we go, how are they going to top last year? How is every year better than the year before? What are they going to do now?
The first year, I thought, there is no way that show can come back season 2.
Yeah.
And keep up that kind of intensity. Now they're on season 6.
Unbelievable.
And it's always astonishing.
It's great.
Well, let me tell you what the magic bullet is. Let me tell you what the secret is. You get yourself some Colin Hanks. That's how you do it. You bring Colin Hanks in, boom, instant magic. That's the answer. Colin joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I like the sound of that. I'm doing much better now after that intro.
Hey, that was a little...
With my head held high.
For me, that was a little big. I got to be honest.
You definitely sold it, though. So you
thank you.
10 for selling it. And you want to know what? You get an 11 on the landing.
Wow, fantastic. All right.
Look, we've been doing this show for a long time, Colin. I don't know if you know that or not. We've been on the radio a while now. And we've only succeeded by making it appear that things are better than they are. That's the secret to this show. So I'm sure that's the secret to the rest of Hollywood as well. Now, you tweeted last night.
I wear makeup for a living. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But if you don't mind my saying, Dexter is not one of those shows that delivers.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I mean, that show every season is not just good, but great.
You tweeted last night that you have not seen the first episode of Dexter that we're watching on Sunday night. Is that true or do you lie, sir?
No, that is true. That is true. They had a screening for the crew last week, which I was not there for because I had other stuff that I had.
You don't hang out with little people is what I heard. You refuse to be in the room with little people unless you're getting paid, I heard.
Well, actually, that was a reference to the fact that apparently the first episode has leaked. And so everyone is tweeting me saying, like, well, I've seen the first three episodes, and it's great. So that was actually a reference to the fact that I know that they're breaking the law. That's what that reference was.
I got it.
But I have not seen it. I have not seen it. But I hear it's great.
Tell us how your character fits into the Dexter storyline and what the season is going to be about.
Let me try and do this without getting fired because we're still making the show.
Of course.
I play a gentleman by the name of Travis, who is a pupil / follower, if you will, of a very dark, mysterious, maybe evil man by the name of Professor Geller, who's played by Edward James Olmos. And the
Scary. He's scary in real life. I can't imagine how scary he is on Dexter.
The two of us go out and we get into trouble.
Fantastic.
It says vague man.
I mean, literally, I signed a blood oath that I would not give stuff away. It's one of the most secretive jobs I've ever been on. So I'm paranoid that I'm going to get the clamp down from the boss one day.
Were you insulted a little bit at the beginning when they're going, listen, Hanks, we're serious. You can't tell it. All right, I got it. It's got to be secret. Well, I understand.
At first, I thought it was really strange, because they were not telling me certain things about, pretty much anything, really. They just sort of gave me a vague outline. That was sort of it. But then I just sort of realized, that's not too different from real life. You don't really know what's going to happen. You don't know what's around the bend. So in a strange way, I sort of embraced it, and now I'm totally into it. Now I actually really enjoy being sort of super secretive about it.
Are you positive you're on the show? Because you don't have much information. You haven't seen the first episode. They don't tell you anything.
I can neither confirm nor deny my involvement in the show.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. Let me ask you this potentially hack question. I'm sure you've been asked a million times before. But to me, if I'm an actor, it would make a difference. You appreciate the work. You love to be on a show that people enjoy and the quality is good. But if I was already a Dexter fan and then I get to be on the show, it would blow my mind. Was that you or was this just another job for you, Colin?
I had not seen the show when I got the offer.
That makes you that makes you a bad human being. I want to clarify.
It had always been, it was one of those things that had always been on the top of my list. I just never had the time between work and getting married and having a kid. Just sitting down and watching five seasons of a TV show is not really
like that other
possible.
Stuff is
it's
important.
Not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, I hear you.
That is amazing to me. So you had no idea. Did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into once you joined the Dexter family?
I knew what I was. I sort of had an idea of what I was getting myself into, and I knew how popular the show was, and then I had a vague idea what the show was about. Once I started watching, I became totally hooked, and it was really bad because I would just, like a lot of people do with DVDs, I would just pound through 4 hours, and next thing I know, it's 3 a.m. going, I could watch another episode.
Yep,
it'll be fine.
That's the way it works.
I don't have work tomorrow.
You go only three though, and then because that'll put me at 3 a.m. and then you go, but there's another one. I could watch that in probably 45 minutes.
Exactly.
That happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now what's really great is. Whenever I read the episodes that we're shooting that I'm involved in, it's fantastic. And this show, unlike some of the other shows that I've done in the past, we do table reads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fun because the whole cast gets together, all the writers, the producers, and we read the episode. And for us, that's sort of been like, being able to watch the show for the first time for us.
Gotcha.
So we get really, really excited about it.
This is the voice of actor Colin Hanks on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Dexter, a show he joins this Sunday night at 9 on Showtime. Do we have a clip from Mr. Hanks, Kevin? Is that something we've set up or no?
We have this. If you want to hear this again, I have this.
I can play
that. That's all I have.
We might have a sample of what Colin sounds like on the show.
No, it's this.
Do you do do you do
no
scenes?
Samples are available, Bean. He may or may not be on the show.
I understand, right?
Exactly.
Do you do scenes with Michael C. Hall?
I can't say.
Oh, Jesus.
What a tease you are.
What a tease you
have
are.
You seen, all right. Have you met Michael C. Hall?
I've met him, yes. I've met the man. He's very nice.
After this conversation, I'm not sure Colin is on the show.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to find out when we tune in on Sunday.
I am going to watch on Sunday, but I highly doubt I'll see you.
I am happy that we got a chance to talk to you.
Wait, he's guaranteeing.
Okay, guaranteeing.
I guarantee you that you will see things this season on Dexter that, as Dexter fans, you have not seen on the show before.
Fantastic. Are you going to be a part of them?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right.
We got to say yes.
Made some progress. The show returns
there you go.
Sunday night at 9 on Showtime. Colin, thanks for coming on, man. Best to you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I know we are throwing a lot of TV shows at you these days. There's a very competitive television landscape for your time and eyeballs, but I can recommend The Car Show, Wednesday nights at 10 on the Speed Channel with our friend Adam Carolla, who joins us every week on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ace Man, how you been, dude?
Good. How you doing?
Doing fine. Always a pleasure to talk to you every week. You can go to adamcarolla.com to find out all of Adam's upcoming appearances in his Fine Family O podcast. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Tell you folks, starting off at 3, working down to number 1, Ben Folds coming on the podcast, I think, tomorrow or the next day. So all you K-Rock fans should enjoy listening.
He's very talented, isn't he? And he wrote the best ever song about an abortion, that Ben Folds, his Brick song, still one of the saddest songs ever written.
It's top 14 for me in the abortion charts, but I'm going to argue with you.
Didn't know such a thing existed.
Oh, sure. All right, starting at 3, working my way down to 1, Ants. What's going on with ants these days? When I was a kid, ants knew what they were doing. They walked into your kitchen. They jumped on some cake. They carried it off. It made a weird little fiddle sound when they walked away. But you knew what they were doing. I just go into my downstairs bathroom, and there's ants just walking around, like the bathtub. And I'm like, what are you doing in here? There's no food in here. There's no cake in here. No one's throwing a picnic in here. And they're like, we don't know. We're aimless, man.
Wait, they talk to you?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Look, Kevin, you know what your dog's thinking, right?
Yeah, sure.
Does he talk to you?
No, but
then
yeah.
Shut up!
All right. You're right.
So you're saying the ants somehow have gotten confused in their evolutionary process, and now they're going places that doesn't make any sense anymore.
I don't know. Look, as a kid, especially if you watch enough cartoons, you knew what ants wanted. They wanted picnics. They were like Yogi Bear. They wanted a nice picnic basket. They wanted some cake. They wanted to come into the kitchen. You'd open the turn on the lights at night. Your mom would yell at you because you didn't rinse off your plate.
Right.
Now we had a bunch of ants all over the kitchen on the plate. Now they're just in the entry hall. They're in the bathroom. There's no food source anywhere.
They've lost focus.
You know what I think it is? I think it's something with like cell phone towers or maybe the polar caps melting or some sort of electromagnetic field that is screwing ants up because they're walking in a circle. They used to be in a nice tidy line and they had a mission. They were like soldiers, you know, civil. They were like revolutionary soldiers, and now they're just like Al Qaeda. They're just spread out all over the place, killing indiscriminately. They don't really care.
You don't know who's an innocent. You don't know who's guilty.
I'm watching TV the other night. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm sitting in my den. I'm watching sports, and I reach up. I feel an ant on my neck. What's he doing there? That would have happened in the past. I would have had to smear gravy on myself in the past to get an ant there. I'm just saying, ants, get it together. Get in line. You're embarrassing your grandparents.
Okay, noted.
Jeez, get it. At least pick up a theme or something.
All right, ants, get it together. Number three.
Number two, and maybe this ties in with the ants. Although these ants today, I don't think you could get them interested in plantains. We got to get rid of plantains.
Now, what is a plantain?
It's a banana, but it's not. You cook it, but sometimes you don't. It's Cuban, but it's also, you can get it at a, you know, any south, any place that's sort of Central American or South. Nobody knows. Number one, nobody knows what a plantain is. Okay. Number two, it's divisive. It'll divide, it'll cut this country in half.
Really? The plantain?
Yes! You know, I'll tell you why. Because you can take every single human being you know and put them into one group or another. I hate plantains, or I love plantains. There's no, I don't mind plantains. For sure, why not? We'll go with some plantains. No, I don't eat them, or I love them. That's it. When you go out and eat Cuban food, either you get to eat the other guy's plantains, or you have to fight him off to keep your plantains.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way with other fruits. It's that people don't feel that way about strawberries or peaches or nectarines. They're not tearing this nation in half.
So you think maybe that's the nation's biggest problem is plantains?
Well, look, it's like brick. It's not the best or most popular abortion song, but it's top five. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So I'm not saying plantains.
It's
no, I'm
in
not
the
saying
mix.
It's the problem, but it's up there.
Okay.
Right. Above there's, the economy.
It's above the economy. And economy. Racism, right? And then plantains are probably right
it's
there in the mix.
It's in the mix.
Okay.
It's in the mix. Right. I can't say. Neither can you be. You know, we don't have crystal plantains.
All right.
I'm just saying, right. Pull them off the menu. There's too many arguments.
I
take
agree.
10
Avoid
people.
The next Civil War.
Take 10 people and ask them if they like plantains. And five of them will hate it, and five will love them. You can't say that about any other fruit.
All right.
Would that happen with an apple?
It would not, sir.
Certainly not.
That's correct.
The point is, apples are a mending fruit. Plantains are tearing us apart.
Okay. All right, so ants, get it together. Plantains, stop it. What's number one, Ace?
The hospital gown. I had to have my meniscus repaired last Friday, and I had to try to squeeze my ass into that hospital gown. And when I say that ass, I don't mean my fat ass. I just mean my exposed ass
right.
into that hospital gown. And I'm just saying, it is a weird piece of cloth that was invented, I think, in the Civil War, maybe the Revolutionary War. Like, is there a garment that has changed less in the last, I mean, that is used in a medical facility? Is there anything in that hospital that has changed less in the last 150 years?
No, you're absolutely right. And the same problem has existed for hundreds of years with the gown. Go ahead and add an extra foot of material to the back and make everyone happy.
And let it wrap around us and we'll
right.
put it in the front like a bathrobe. Like human beings, I had to walk out there with, it's first off, It is ass crack and back sack central.
Correct.
Over there. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And then they do this thing where, you know, they go, listen, come on, these are nurses and doctors. Believe me, they're comfortable with this. They know. They grew up around. They've seen this stuff. They're not uptight. It's like, yeah, they're not, but I am. I'm uncomfortable. I feel very vulnerable. And the way this thing is designed is, it's not like just the part of your hip is exposed or the part of your cheek that's exposed that you could show on television or that would show if you were in, you know, on the French Riviera and gay and wearing a banana hammock.
Right.
It is the business end of your ass.
That's true.
Yeah. It is
the business end.
It's really only the parts that matter. It's really the part that you'd like not to be seen. The rest, like when they make an Indian movie, that's the part they cover up.
Right, yeah.
And this gown is exposed. It's like crotchless panties at the hospital. It's like the part you need covered up, boom, swinging in the wind. And I'm just saying, let's work on this. Get some, you know, in a day where there's 1,000 different bathrobes and dudes are wearing Spanx, let's work this out because it's not right.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I never realized how many problems we have in the world until Adam Carolla visits us each week. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, find out where his upcoming live appearances are, including a hilarious show in Anaheim in December, Adam Carolla Hates the Holidays, and check out all of his podcasts. The Speed Channel Car Show, Wednesday nights at 10. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you, man.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
What's going on over there with Dancing with the Stars? What's up with those people?
I don't watch that show.
I don't either, but strangeness is going on there. You got Nancy Grace showing her cans.
No one wants to see that.
No. By the way, Nancy says, for the record, her nipple did not show.
What was it then?
She says she has. She was wearing nipple guards. And what you saw sticking out there was a nipple cover. It was not her nipple at all.
Why would you wear a nipple cover under your clothes?
because apparently they had these thing called petals, which are nipple covers just in case something like that happens, unless you get some sort of exposure. Your top comes down or something. Apparently, performers wear them in their costumes, so just in case something happens, they're covered up.
Oh.
So, petals, nipple covers is what you saw, not nipples.
Well, thank God.
I'll go to my grave denying the nip slip, she said. She rode off into the night carrying a lantern as the British were coming.
Can she go to her grave now? Is that a possibility?
No. But then, to add insult to injury, Elisabetta Canalis voted off the show last night. Voted off the show.
Voted off.
Voted off.
Listen to Bean. He doesn't watch the show anyway.
Yeah.
What?
All those hours you poured into supporting her in the show, Bean, watching through a fine-tooth comb, and yet no, she's gone now.
I think it's evidence how upset I am by the fact that this is the first I'm hearing about it.
Yes. So there's your update on
just in general,
DWTS.
Though. Just in general, though, Bean, I'm down with you that you keep the hot chicks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can vote Nancy Grace off.
Yeah. Jessica Simpson's pregnant.
Nope.
Uh-oh. Either that or she ate a baby. We don't know yet exactly what happened. In Touch Weekly magazine says she's expecting her first child with her fiancé, former NFL player Eric Johnson. I'm a fairly avid football fan.
I'd say more than that. Go ahead.
This Eric Johnson, but got nothing. I got nothing on him. They keep saying, former NFL, big NFL player. She's marrying a former football player. I've never heard this dude. I don't know what string he was. I don't know whose bench he sat on, but I'm not familiar with this guy. And every time I read this in a story, I'm like, how do I not know this guy?
They don't ever put a team X.
I don't know.
Cowboys. He's Cowboys. He was after Tony Romo.
After Tony Romo.
Dating Jessica Simpson.
Right,
she dated Tony Romo, and then she dated Eric Johnson after. But I think he's also on the Cowboys.
I don't know. He's not on the Cowboys, that's for sure.
I mean, he's an ex-player now, but wasn't he on the Cowboys?
He may have been on any one of 31 teams in the NFL
that
you choose from. But I'm not sure what position he played or who he was. I'm just saying, I don't think he was a good player, my guess is.
He wouldn't be mentioned as a former NFL player if he wasn't marrying a celebrity.
He's 32. He probably would have been working recently, I would think.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was at his birthday party. She was refusing to drink the champagne everyone was toasting with and stuff. So that and the judging from the size of her midsection, they're assuming that she is with child and will be giving birth sometime this spring.
I hope she is only in that if everybody's saying that you're pregnant and you're not, then you got to be really bummed because you're fat.
That's why I hope she's not. It would be so funny. We're saying, oh, congratulations. What do you do? I'm not, y'all.
Just been at the buffet.
That would be funny. And the opposite applies to Demi Moore. She's been added to a list that Hollywood is calling the Lollipop Girls. Remember the Lollipop Girls?
No, but does that mean too skinny?
Yes. This is a list of women who are so thin it makes their head look painfully huge.
Apparently, I've never been a fan of that type of woman.
Photographers caught up with her at the premiere of something called Five in New York. And she looks jagged, positively jagged. Bones sticking out everywhere, just looking emaciated. Too much time in the gym, not enough at the table, friends say.
You can be too skinny, no question.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially as women get older.
Yeah.
The skin hangs off you differently. You start to look gaunt. You start to look unwell. It's better to have just a little fat under the skin just to hold things up.
I thought Julie Bowen, who I think is a beautiful actress on Modern Family, was terrifying to see her at the Emmys the other night.
Julie Bonin, that's what I call her.
It was terrifying to be. I mean, it was scary. She looked unwell. She looked like she needed to be on an IV for nutrients. Hey, Ralph, I looked it up. No Cowboys. Apparently, Eric Johnson used to be a tight end for the San Francisco 49ers and last played for the Saints in 2008. So he's been out of the game for a little while.
But I'm
no wonder
you,
we don't know him.
But 2008.
Didn't even play. Who knows if he was just on the bench or...
I've been watching football for a lot longer than 2008. Don't remember ever hearing his name called. Ever.
Yeah. You're saying he's a fraud.
That's what I'm saying.
He's fake. Faker. CFL.
Back to Julie Bowen. I thought, too, she was underfed.
She looked bad,
at the Emmys. But what was more disturbing to me was... Oh, is it Entertainment Weekly? Entertainment Tonight, rather. I believe one of the entertainment news programs did a behind-the-scenes getting ready with the stars sequence.
Right.
They show up at the star's house, and you see them getting ready, and they got their makeup team there and everything, and they got their stylist, and they're putting her wardrobe together before she gets in the limo to go to the awards. And so they showed a long sequence of her preparing to go to the Emmys. And they were zooming around the camera with, you know, the camera, they have those whip pans and they're showing everything happening.
Sure.
And she was doing an interview in a sit-down chair, and they panned over to her bed. And she goes, don't look over there, because those are my Spanx. That's where my Spanx are.
Spanx.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar what Spanx are.
Spanx.
Lisa, would you care to
they're an
elaborate?
Undergarment. They're sort of like a girdle. It's kind of an update of a girdle.
Right.
To keep you, so you look perfectly smooth. Some of those dresses are super clingy if there's anything.
It's like
that's
wearing a scuba suit under your dress or whatever. It's a neoprene sort of body shell.
It can go
shell.
From your knees up to right under your chest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them.
But she weighs 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Who needs Spanx less than she does?
What does she have to hold in?
I have no idea. That's what I couldn't believe, that she's so obviously preoccupied, and women, sadly, in the entertainment business sort of have to be. The pressure's put upon them to be super thin. But not only is she ultra thin, but now she's wearing like a girdle undergarment to hold even whatever little flesh she has on her body to hold it into her bones.
See, Lisa, we hate these guys who hold these actresses up to too high a standard. See?
Yeah, Lisa. See, aren't we good? Don't you like us now?
A lot of them look perfectly fine in person, and then we see them on the screen, and they look a little bigger, because that's what happens, and you guys are all over them.
No.
Unless you can put down the sandwich.
Kevin.
Kevin.
There's extremes.
Who was it? Demi Lovato, you were jumping all
over? Oh,
yeah. She got out of her eating disorder rehab. Like, oh, fat. She was bulimic. She was dying in a rehab, and you were jumping all over.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We'll find the tape. Tonight's premieres, if you want to catch some new television, Suburgatory is the name of a new comedy over on ABC.
I believe our friend Jay Moore is a regular cast member on that show.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch. I don't trust anyone.
I'm going to tell him I'm going to watch him, and I'm not going to show up for it.
That would be appropriate. I don't trust any comedy that's name is too cute.
It's too cute.
Suburgatory. No. You're trying too hard already. You're the girl with all the false eyelashes and the makeup and the wig and everything, the Spanx. And then when I get you home, you take everything off, it's Ernest Borgnine underneath there. I don't need it. I don't trust it. That's what I'm saying. Happy Endings on ABC, also a new premiere episode of that series returning. And Extreme Couponing. Now that's a show. Woo-hoo. Tells you what you're going to get and delivers. If I tune into Extreme Couponing, you know what I see?
What?
Extreme Couponing.
That's true.
Love that show. Maybe I'll bring in some highlights. We can talk about people who have a lot of coupons.
Oh, my God, those people. 24/7.
Doesn't sound like that would be entertaining, does it? Just people
at
shopping
all.
With coupons.
No,
and
but
it's fascinating.
Well, because it's the freak factor. They're freaky.
They are extreme. Today's celebrity birthdays. Janine Garofalo is 47 years old today. Mira Sorvino turns 44 years old. Moon Zappa is also 44. Naomi Watts, 43 today. Burlesque star Dita Von Teese is 39. You ever see her take a bath in a champagne glass, that Dita Von Teese?
Yeah,
that's what I'm sure. That's not champagne? Come on, Mug, where are you?
Nope.
No?
That's not brown rice.
There we go. Young Jeezy, 34 years old today. Bam Margera from Jackass, 32 years old. And Hilary Duff celebrates her 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Michael Hawk and Ruth England in the studio from Discovery's channel Man, Woman, Wild.
I've seen this show. You won't believe what he puts her through. They're a husband and wife team. He is an explorer, a survivalist type dude.
Mm-hmm.
She is a former TV presenter. I think she was a TV host. She was a very attractive journalist. And he takes her on these wild adventures, and kind of the two of them go out into the wild together and have to survive together.
She's not a survival.
She's not at all.
She's not one
she
of those
is
people.
A very attractive. Looks like she would be much more comfortable in a beauty salon than she would in the jungle drinking water out of flowers.
That's
stuff,
not water.
But it's fascinating. They have a lot of very. They go to some really cool places and they do some very cool things.
We also
that
have
is amazing.
We also have Chris Pratt on tomorrow's show. He's on,
he's
of course,
so funny.
Parks and Recreation.
You should bring in Heidi. I don't like those two. I didn't watch The Hills, and I don't like either.
That's, no, that's a different person.
Spencer.
That's
different
Spencer.
Guy.
This is Chris.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He's also got like three movies out or something, so we're going to talk to him about that. And brand new Bean's Death Corner, Dr. Drew's going to tell us how upset he is at Dr. Conrad Murray. Man, he's hopping mad.
Wow.
Dr. Drew's hopping
Murray
mad.
Murray had an actual medical degree?
No. He's
jealous?
Dr. Drew has an actual degree.
Okay.
He does, yeah. And the Wheel of Bad Animal Voice. So that's
what?
Tomorrow morning on
what? Kevin.